Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Saw a little bit of rain over the weekend. Didn't amount to a whole lot here in the metro. I see Keith and South Moorhead registering in at 0.12 inches. Still some scattered showers out there this morning. It'll be on the cooler side, pleasant side, some of us would say. 75 for our high temp today, and then we're going to kick up the heat and humidity as the week goes on. We have cloudy skies, 64 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Jace Denman has arrived. Was there any rain? It said there might be some rain. I looked at the radar screen. It wasn't really showing up. Did you? You don't know.
No, I know.
Is it raining out?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just checking. Sometimes you come in so fast, it's like, well, it's supposed to be raining, but it's so
not,
light.
It's not raining so much over here. It's raining over in West Fargo.
Okay.
Yesterday, I mean, that's why when you said we didn't really get much that amounted to anything, I thought we got a nice shower for the yards and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it rained for quite a bit yesterday, late afternoon in the early evening. Then obviously it quit at some point, but even this morning when I let Luna out off the deck was still wet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started raining again when I was getting ready. So when I left the house, it was raining. Nice little sprinkle to kind of keep the grass wet and stuff. As you move closer to Fargo, it's not there. So maybe it'll show up headed this way over the next hour.
And Keith measuring 0.12 in South Moorhead could have got more in West Fargo where you live too. But yeah, it came down a couple of times where I live in South Moorhead too. But in terms of, you know, inches or anything like that, we didn't get a whole lot. But you're right. It was a nice drink for the lawns and the gardens and the flowers out there. And Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be joining us in the 6 o'clock hour with more details on our forecast. A violent night overnight Sunday in Fargo with multiple people shot. That first shooting took place downtown where one person was killed, two others were hurt. Flag family's Ken Duffy has more. A suspect's being shot in the sought in the Broadway shooting. Fargo police are looking for 22-year-old Tyreek Jones. As for the second shooting, one person was killed in the 4700 block of 16th Street South. Police have not said if the shootings are connected. Meanwhile, Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney urges calm, reminding us that the city remains safe and unified. Police say it's, again, unclear if those incidents are connected. Fargo Police Department reports a busy summer. In July alone, officers responded to 9,492 calls, an average of 306 calls per day. From traffic stops to thefts and welfare checks, police say they remain committed to protecting the community. The North Dakota Supreme Court has scheduled an appeal hearing for Spencer Moan, the West Fargo man serving a life sentence for murdering his wife in 2023. Moan's attorneys argue his right to confront witnesses was violated when two minors testified via Zoom without a court finding of emotional distress. State says a remote testimony was necessary to protect the children. That hearing is September 16th in Bismarck. A Thompson, North Dakota baseball player is recovering after a medical emergency during yesterday's North Dakota Class B American Legion State semifinal in Park River. Catcher Dex Avdum collapsed in the sixth inning, prompting immediate medical attention. He was taken to First Care Hospital, then transferred to Sanford and Fargo for observation. Officials say CPR-trained fans in the stands may have saved his life. Avdum's reportedly in good spirits, and his team advanced to the championship with a 2-1 win over Lemoore. Blackout license plates are selling fast in North Dakota. DOT reports over 1,000 blackout plates were sold after they became available last Friday. That amounts to at least $27,000 in extra revenue, which will go towards the state's highway tax distribution fund to help pay for road construction. New plates are expected to bring in nearly $7 million over the next 4 years. North Dakota Mill and Elevator in Grand Forks reports record profits for fiscal year 2025. According to the North Dakota Industrial Commission, the state-owned mill earned more than $26 million, a nearly 30% increase over last year. And Sturgis Motorcycle Rally recorded its first traffic fatality over the weekend. A motorcyclist lost control on a curve and slid into three other bikes. 58-year-old man who lost control of his motorcycle died. The three other riders suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. 5:05, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
Thank you, Bonnie. Busy weekend over in the sports world.
Well, weekends usually are in sports.
Yeah, I mean, they keep you busy. A couple other things I'm trying to get looked up here just because Fargo Force have a new coach coming too. They have a new goaltending coach. Hank Johnson has been named your Fargo Force goaltender's coach. He is course, now it decides to the very slightest touch on my trackpad.
Is your computer being a little persnickety here this morning? It's Monday.
Yeah, Hank Johnson. He is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He is the new goaltending coach for the Fargo Forest. As we had a couple coaches move on over this last weekend or so. Jackson Keene is, I believe, going to be an assistant at Bemidji State University. And then former Fargo Forest coach Jimmy Spratt will be taking an assistant to the head coach at Bowling Green, his alma mater. So both those guys moving up to the Division I hockey ranks. So Hank Johnson comes in to join the coaching staff this year. He played Division I hockey at Bemidji State for 3 seasons and Mercyhurst for 2. He was a Richter Award nominee and was named the team's MVP for the 2021 season. He played a season of pro hockey in the SPHL prior to joining the Des Moines Buccaneers as a coach for the 23-24 season. I'm not sure if they've got their website updated with all the coaching changes. Let me see if they do. So you're going to have Brett Skinner, your head coach and general manager, sure. Still, your associate head coach, we just brought in this offseason. We had a chance to be at his introductory press conference. Jimmy Mullen, a former Fargo member of the Fargo Force, he comes to the Force as an associate head coach. And as I said, Jimmy Spratt, assistant coach and goaltending coach, he is going back to Bowling Green, and Jackson Keene is going to Bemidji State. And then we add, obviously, your new assistant coach, Hank. I just dropped his last name. And then also just in the offseason, they did name a new equipment manager. It's Eddie Duffy, who comes to Fargo as our new equipment manager, because the previous one, Matty Oliver, will be working over at Moorhead High School with all of their stuff over there. So that we a little more stability in the schedule, and he can be home more for his kids, et cetera. Minnesota Twins, believe it or not, they got to win this weekend. I haven't had a chance to look at the box score to see who exactly was on the team that won, but we beat the Cleveland Guardians 5-4. They lost a couple other close ones to them, so those guys coming up from St. Paul are obviously trying to do their best to make things happen. Matt Wallner, Royce Lewis, and Trevor Larnach all drove in runs during a 4-run first inning. Twins led the rest of the way. Cody Funderburg picked up his second win in relief. Twins remain in fourth place in the AL Central at 52-59. They begin a series tonight with the Detroit Tigers. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks return to Newman Outdoor Field tomorrow, for a series against the Lincoln Salt Dogs. First pitch scheduled, as always, at 7.02 p.m. Jaron Allen, he got his bust shown to him for the first time, and he is enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Former Vikings defensive end was one of 4 players inducted into the Hall on Saturday. Allen spoke about being driven by fear, respect, and the pursuit of greatness during his NFL career. He spent 6 seasons with Minnesota and had 85.5 sacks in 96 games. During his time as a Viking.
Well-deserved.
Yes. Minnesota Timberwolves, they're kind of finalizing their rosters. They're going to get ready to head to training camp next month. They signed guard Johnny Zhuang to a 1-year deal over the weekend, although that is believed to be a training camp deal, so not anything for sure with him. He spent the last 3 seasons with Utah Jazz. He averaged 8.9 points in 64 games. Wolves also added forward Enrique Freeman on a 2-way deal. So I'm not sure. I know what it was. Jesse Edwards, who has been on the Wolves roster as a 2-way player, he is the odd man out. So Johnny is going to try and obviously make the roster out of training camp, but nothing's guaranteed yet for him. Minnesota United dropped their second Leagues Cup match against Club America at Shell Energy Stadium on Saturday. They were up 2-1. At the half, but they were tied at 3 at the end of regulation, but they lost on penalty kicks. The Loons have another League Cups match against San Luis on Wednesday. Minnesota Lynx, get this. I believe it, and I don't know that I see it in this article, but they set a record for the biggest road win in WNBA history this weekend. They played the Las Vegas Aces, and I think it was about 11 minutes into the game. Out of a 40-minute game, they're already up by 21. They end up going on to beat the Aces 111-58 from Michelob Ultra Arena on Saturday. They led by as many as 53 points, but Nafisa Collar rolled her ankle, I believe, in the late third quarter when they were up big. So no status on her as to when she'll be able to be back. Kayla McBride led the Lynx with 24 points. Lynx are still in first place with the WNBA best 24-5 record. They visit the Seattle Storm tomorrow night, so we'll have to get an update on Nafisha Collier. Minnesota, they're also getting ready for that final stretch of the season. They traded for Dallas Wings guard Dejounte Carrington yesterday. The Lynx sent Diamond Miller, Carly Samuelson, and a 2027 second-round pick back to Dallas to complete the deal. Carrington was named the most improved player in the league last season. She's averaging 10.4 points and 5.1 rebounds per game this season. She's also an all-league defensive type of player. And then James, well, he was in Newton, Iowa yesterday. William Byron held off a late push to claim the checkered flag in the Iowa Corn 350. I tuned in for a second, and they had like four or five different stages, so I guess they had a number of breaks to pit or something. I'm not quite sure. Driver of the number 24 car edged Chase Briscoe by just over a second from Iowa Speedway. Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, and Ryan Preece rounded out the top five. NASCAR Cup Series field heads to Bendy Watkins Glen next Sunday as the regular season winds down. There are only three races left until NASCAR playoffs.
There you go. Cloudy, some showers here this morning, 75 for our high temp. Our winds will be out of the southeast, 10 to 15. The smoke finally has cleared out. It was over a week of dealing with that statewide in Minnesota, as well as other parts of the Red River Valley on the North Dakota side. Low of 62 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, humid. Chance of thunderstorms late in the day, 83 for the high. South-southeast winds, 15 to 25, 66 the overnight low. Wednesday, WeFest kickoff party, cloudy, humid, chance of showers and thunderstorms, 84 for the high, south-southwest winds 10 to 20. WeFest officially kicks off Thursday. It's going to be hot, highs near 90, chance of showers and thundershowers. Saturday will be a bit cooler with a high around 77. Right now, it's cloudy. We have rain in the area, 64 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, southeast winds at 9. 5:13, time for your national news from ABC, then a song of the morning and question of the morning coming up. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Got some rain moving through the area. Looks like on the radar screen we'll see on and off showers throughout the morning hours here. Cooler day. The smoke has pushed out. 75 for our high temp. Right now we have 64 degrees at our WDAY Radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Question of the morning, what do you love or hate about flying? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 525 Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. We've got some rain in the area. It's going to be a cooler day today. We'll see a high temp. Oh, right around 75 degrees today. Right now, rain 64 at our WDAY radio studios, southeast at 9. Looks like the showers on and off will continue here through the morning hours. Question of the morning, what do you love or hate about flying? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments in our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Roger says, too close. Too many people, you always get off the plane feeling dirty. Yeah, the dirty part. Don't you think? I feel that.
No, I just...
Don't you feel dirty when you get off a plane? I do.
No, why would I feel dirty?
Because there's like germs and recycled air flying around there.
I'm not a germaphobe like you, Vaughn.
I know, but you don't feel dirty. I do.
No, I just think that a three-hour trip should, you know, take 3 hours and not take all day, but...
That's the thing. It's a hassle. I think it's a hassle flying.
It is, but, I mean, if I have to, like, we went to Colorado for the Bison opener last year. We've gone to Frisco before. It's a heck of a lot better than driving that whole way.
Yeah.
You know?
It's an efficiency thing. You wouldn't be able to go certain places
if you didn't
fly.
I just wish, you know, granted, obviously, everything started happening back in 2001, but... I wish we didn't have to be to the airport 2 hours early. I mean, when we left Colorado, we had to wake up at, you know, James had, I think, 2 hours of sleep maybe, and I had to make sure he was awake so we could get Steve to drive us back to the airport in Denver from Boulder and then fly out. So there are inconveniences that way. I just wish that the time frame, I wish you could do it quicker. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that you don't have to drive the whole way and you can make it to where you're going faster, but... It still ends up being an all-day thing.
It is.
You know, and it's expensive. if you're on a full plane, which sometimes you are, sometimes you aren't, you're, you know, like you're crowded on a plane. The thing I didn't like when I flew for my last job is that those of us that are in a Denver or a Minneapolis or a Phoenix or something like that, and if you're going to a smaller destination, I mean, Tucson's got a bigger airport probably than we have here in Fargo. But like when you're in Minneapolis, you used to, when you flew from Minneapolis to Sioux Falls, Fargo to Watertown, you know, any place, you know, Bismarck, any of these small airports, you had to go to like this other place. So you had to go clear downstairs and you had to wait and there's all kinds of people there. And then you had to go outside and take a little, you know, bus over to your plane and go outside and then fly on this little propeller plane to the small destination you were going to. And like when I was in the Denver airport, we had to do that. We had to fly from Denver to Fargo. We're just down in this one spot and there's just four doors at the end of this hall or whatever. And there's all kinds of people there. So it's all crowded. It's kind of warmer than every other place in it. So when you fly to the places that we live at, it's not quite as cool because like if you fly from Denver to LA, well, then you get to go on a big airport to a big airport. So there's all this space and all kinds of things to do. You go from Denver to Fargo or you go from Minneapolis to Watertown, South Dakota. You know, you're just in the little kind of like, okay, we're going to put like 16 different exits on to different planes over here. Then you get to a place like Watertown and you just like, you can see your stuff being unloaded from the plane, like your luggage.
Yeah.
I can just take that to the to the airport terminal for you. Nope, can't touch it. And they take it on the little lawnmower tractor and they pull it over 25 feet so that we can pick it up over there, which is kind of the dumbest thing in the little tiny airports. But it's just sometimes it's kind of a hassle, but I'd rather fly for 4 hours than drive for 16.
Yeah, it depends on where you need to get to or where you want to get to. It's funny because when I was in college, I had a roommate from down in the Twin Cities and went home with her one weekend and her dad's like, well, let's go check out the airport. And I'm like, why? That's, I mean, I've been to an airport before. Hibbing has an airport.
Yeah.
Just like you're talking about, like Watertown Regional.
Yep.
We go to the airport and I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, quite a difference when you get to a big airport compared to what, you know, you were used to. But that would be the naivety of me being 18, 19 years old at the time. But yeah. Kevin, not flies. He says, I love flies. I killed seven in one stroke. Those nasty little black things. They love coming indoors this time of year. Yeah, they do. Some people don't like to shut my doors when they're in and out. Flies. Flies are annoying, especially if you have a pet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the cats or the dogs are going crazy, chasing them around and stuff.
Yeah.
What do you love or hate about flying? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines. Find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Excuse me. What do I love or hate about flying?
Yeah.
I think it's a tie. And they're both not liking. One is when you get into that turbulence and your head feels like it's going to hit the top of the plane and then you come back down again. Or even before you get on the plane, the time that it takes you and all the preparation that it takes you to be able to get onto the plane when you go through that little maze, when you go through the checkout. And I think that's what bothers me the most. I don't feel dirty when I get off. People are usually pretty well-dressed for the most part, or they used to be since the last time I flew. So I don't worry about that. And if I have to, I'll wash my hands in the sink to, grimy or grubby.
Yeah, lots of hand sanitizer for me.
Do you have a cold?
Yeah, can you tell?
Yeah, I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, I feel fine. It's just I have a bad cough and congestion, but I actually do not feel bad at all. So my whole house is sick, but except for the one who got us sick, who's in denial. He was sick a week and a half ago, and he's in denial.
He's already gotten over it, Bonnie.
Well, yeah.
That's why he's not sick.
Well, I just had allergies. Oh, okay. That's why the rest of the entire house is sick. Yeah.
You gave everybody else allergies.
That's what we were saying. Yeah, we all have allergies. Yeah. So the whole house is sick, so I'm going to try not to pass it on to Jace here.
You better not.
I won't. Yeah.
And then I was invited as a thing of kind of like a badge of, not courage, but a badge of honor amongst my peers they asked me to tell my story, what it was like, what happened, and what it was like now for me in my life. And of course, I gave all the glory and honor to God for being able to give my story in front of a group of, I think it was about 55 people, which is pretty good size.
Hmm.
And it was good.
Good.
It was a good deal.
Excellent. Good to hear. Paulie, you have yourself a great morning.
You too.
Yes. Thank you. What do you love or hate about flying? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. This looks like Trucker Al.
Good morning.
Hey, your blinker's on.
I know. There's only two things I really hate about it. The knee room, because the seats are so close together.
Oh, yeah, you're tall.
And I'm tall. And then if I have to use the restroom, just standing up peeing, my head hits the ceiling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, planes aren't really built for tall people, are they?
No.
No.
Well, you got to enjoy when you push that button and your seat reclines that 1 inch. I mean, that makes it much more comfortable to take a nap on the plane.
Except for that person behind you, you know, that's got long legs and they're beating on the chair. Hey, push it up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't have much problems.
Yeah, you take trips now and then too, so you obviously don't mind it.
Yeah, no. And then, you know, I got that global entry card too, so I could show up, like, you know, 10 minutes before the plane leaves and just get right on.
Yeah, speeds things up a lot.
Other than that, there, no, nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What the heck did Paulie have to mention turbulence for? There was just, what, like 16 or 24 people hurt? The flight landed in the Twin Cities. It's like, I've never really experienced bad turbulence when I've flown.
No, when there is turbulence, they usually put on the fasten seatbelt sign so that you don't go flying or anything like that. So, I mean, I can only guess that it was really unexpected. So
probably.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Al, have a good morning.
You too, brother.
Yep, good hearing from you. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. What do you love or hate about flying? I'll tell you guys, I'll give you a recap when I get back from my flying experiences. I don't love flying. If it's a quick trip, like 3-4 hours, it's fine.
I mean, but if you have to go to Greece and spend time there with family at a wedding, I mean, blah.
I don't know what's exciting about that. It'll be fine, I suppose.
You get to go see a different country.
I like Minnesota. It's a state
understand.
In the United States of America. I'm fine with
Minnesota. I'm not asking you to move there. I'm asking you to enjoy your trip there.
Canada, it's closer and it's pretty.
Yeah, I'm sure Greece is just horrendous to look at.
It's going to be a long haul to get there. And then
you are a long haul anyway.
That's very true. I'll be fine. Don't you guys worry about me. You worry about these two who get left in charge when I'm gone for 2 weeks coming up in September.
Great, you got people turning off the radio already.
No, they're not going to turn off the radio.
Yes, they will. They're like, meh.
You can expect much of the same except without me here. You'll still get Platinum Music Flashback and a question of the morning.
Other than those two things, we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, good luck trying to find me. I'm going to be checked out for 2 whole weeks. What do you love or hate about flying? That's our question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page, 536. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, and you. We'll have Chris Larson with your WDAY Radio news coming up at the top of the hour. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki joins us with your weather, and Jace gets to do sports all morning.
You act like it's a bad thing.
No, it's good. Jimmy's not here, though. We're missing one of our legs in our tripod. Jimmy's
gone. Well, yeah, he's...
miss him when he's not here.
Yeah, he went to Newton, Iowa, which is not exactly a travel destination, but he got to go there with a big family, get together and watch the race. Looking at it on TV, I mean, it's one of the smaller, obviously, tracks in NASCAR, but at the same time, it's a big racetrack out in the middle of nowhere Iowa, so it's kind of funny. But
didn't he do this last year too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've based on my personal experience, if you can start something, because I know, you know, a few things obviously about his family, and if you can start doing something now, when the time comes, maybe when a family member is not there, I mean, you have that tradition that you've started.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he had aunts and uncles there, as well as his parents. I think his grandparents were there. So it was a big family get together. Like I said last week, I did get to finally talk to his mom and stepdad there at Vikings training camp. Although technically, since they've probably heard me on the radio with James so much, they probably already feel like they know me. But I don't think I've ever technically been introduced to his parents.
Oh, that was the first time you met them. Oh.
Yeah, that's I saw his mom from the step when I dropped him off once. I believe last year when we were headed all the way down to Winona or something like that. We kind of split the trip up, and he was able to spend the night with his family, and then we went down the next day, and then of course after the game on Saturday we just drove all the way back. So yeah, that was really the first time I've really kind of met them in person. I've heard him talk to his parents on speakerphone, etc. before. I mean,
does James make sense to you now that you met his mom and dad?
Well,
you still wonder.
Oh no, I know why. Some of the stories James has told me, I kind of know why James turned out the way he did. So there's
that's too funny.
But no, so yeah, that was the first time I met him. But they had a big family get together for that, and I can't recommend stuff like that enough. I mean, we had before my youngest brother went off to college. That's when my parents had the last big family vacation we took, and we did the cruise, and we went to Disney World, which we were honestly a little bit too old for Disney World at that time because they didn't have like the adult stuff that they have now in Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was my mom and dad's 45th wedding anniversary, then we had a family trip with my parents, my siblings, their families, et cetera. And we all went down to the same resort together. And so that was a lot of fun. And you really can't replicate memories like that, even though if there's some typical ones, as always, you know, my sister getting annoyed at my parents for this or that, or we're going to do this, and we thought we're going to do that. And it was just kind of play it by ear. So my poor sister.
Families. You got to love them, right?
Yep, absolutely.
What do you love or hate about flying? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you guys want to weigh in on that, phone lines are always open to you, or anything else you want to talk about. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. We are going to have another coolish day before heating up and becoming more humid beginning tomorrow. Cloudy with showers here this morning, 75 for our high temp, and then becoming humid tomorrow, 83 for the high. WeFest kickoff party, heads up for that too, if you are traveling through the Detroit Lakes area beginning Wednesday and going through Saturday into Sunday. There will be increased traffic on the roads there, Highway 10 and Highway 59. WeFest kickoff party is Wednesday. Cloudy, humid, chance of showers and thunderstorms. WeFest actually begins on Thursday, and it's going to be hot. Highs will be 90s both Thursday, Friday, and cooler on Saturday with a high around 77. Prepare for the potential for thunderstorms. Dino, we'll have more on our forecast coming up throughout the morning hours. Looks like a derecho potential being mentioned again for parts of the Midwest.
A what?
Derecho. Those are the high winds. That's what
went
through, like Hunter, North Dakota, when those trees got knocked down. Bemidji area.
I didn't realize that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. Derecho sounds like something else.
No,
the last name of a pitcher we just traded for the Twins.
No. I don't know if we'll
Horatio Derecho on the mound for the Twins. Two balls and a strike here. It is payoff pitch.
There you go. I don't know if we'll see it here, but severe weather potential derecho will target the northern plains into the upper Midwest starting as early as tomorrow in North Dakota, South Dakota, spreading east into Minnesota and Wisconsin is what I'm seeing some of the Twin Cities media reporting. And then also there was some really heavy rain that fell over parts of South Dakota yesterday. Tiny town, Hitchcock, South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be west of
my hometown.
Watertown, kind of. Yeah.
Well,
kind of,
west,
so you know where it's at.
Yeah.
Okay. Over 7 inches of rain had fallen there.
Yeah, that would be, you take that highway, that's probably halfway. It's probably, so you probably go 20, 21 miles west, and then there's the highway you can turn left and go to Huron on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you stay on highway 28 or 25. I forget what the number is. It goes through hometown. That one continues. You go through Hitchcock, and then eventually you come to a fork in the road, and then you turn north to go to Tulare, because Hitchcock and Tulare are partnered together for sports, and we used to play them in sports. And my sister was a school teacher at Tulare when she started her career.
Well, there you go. You narrowed it down for us. It's exactly how you explained it is how I'm seeing it on the map here. They saw 1 to 2 inches of rain an hour just kind of sat over that Hitchcock, South Dakota area. In excess
water,
of 7 inches of rain.
I was going to say, there's probably water in ditches, and streets were probably flooded.
Yep, so. National Weather Service out of Sioux Falls was telling people to be careful. Rural gravel roads may have been washed out, so don't ever drive through those. And that can happen anywhere. You know, you get a heavy rain, sometimes you just get a dumping over a certain area, not necessarily the whole region, but stuff like that can happen. So that's what I saw. And then, of course, we had couple of shootings here in Fargo over the weekend, early yesterday. A lot of us woke up to that news. Shooting in downtown Fargo off of Broadway there. One person died from injuries, and then there was another one further to the south in Fargo. A person has died there, too. Fargo police late last night putting out a suspect they are looking for in connection with the shooting on Broadway. 22-year-old Tyreek Jones of Fargo is wanted and still at large. Police have not said if they think these two shootings are connected. The second one occurred in the 4700 block of 16th Avenue South. More from our WDAY Radio News Center coming up throughout the morning hours. And if we have updated information to pass along, we will certainly do so. What do you love or hate about flying? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Justine says she dislikes the middle seat.
Yeah.
I imagine so. If you don't know people on either side of you, then that would be kind of like,
I think even more important than that, Bonnie, is the fact that you got to try and, like, stake your claim to one of the armrests. If you're in the middle and you got two people that, like myself, just normally always want to have my arms on the armrest, well, then where do you put your arms?
Well,
you're not
going
to sit there like this.
You should be able to at least have one of them, because the person on the aisle has one for sure on their right arm.
Yeah, but that's just not how people sit. They don't kind of lean to one side.
Some people are rude, too. Well, and I suppose if you're sitting by the window, there's not an armrest over there, or is there?
I suppose it depends on the plane. I don't fly enough to really know. It seems like there might be one kind of over there, but, you know.
Maybe there is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's getting stuck in the middle, and, you know, not everybody. I mean, some people are rude, and they don't know how to keep their personal space.
Yeah.
And if you're bigger or you're taller, it's not very comfortable, so you may be adjusting your body to try to fit in and getting in somebody else's space. I get that.
Yeah, the weird part is that it feels like when you have someone in front of you lean their seat back in the reclined position, it feels like it's in your lap.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you literally watch how far that seat reclines, it barely reclines at all. I don't even know what the point of it is.
I know. They should almost eliminate that to alleviate
Well, they should.
Issues.
They should just, they instead of being like straight up and down, they should tilt it back just a smidge and just have all the seats just that
Leave
way.
It that way,
yeah. Because there's usually some type of airlines that have seats that you can really recline, and then all of a sudden, you know, people got somebody else in their lap and they're stuck in a middle seat, so they've got no shoulder space there, and someone's in your lap. I mean, then it's just completely miserable when you're flying. Mm-hmm. So, but it's funny, like I said, you barely recline, you don't even notice the difference, but the person behind you feels like I said, they're in your lap. So, the crowding on the plane itself, but, you know, if you're lucky and you get that one row by yourself, you can sit in the middle seat with a seat open on each side of you, or if there's two of you in three seats. But, you know, we've been on planes so small that you've got two seats on one side of the plane and one seat on the other side, because it's that small going to like Watertown or Sioux Falls or whatever. So sometimes, and then on occasion, not very often, but sometimes you've got someone that doesn't really pay attention to what the flight staff is telling you as far as buckle your seatbelt and yada yada.
Yeah.
I remember one flight we had a flight attendant, or I don't even know what the proper term is these days, that they were talking to this one lady. She was just trying to simply get up or get her kid buckled in properly and before buckling herself. And then the flight attendant was just like, I mean, you need to sit down and yada yada yada. And she's like, you're kind of watching the situation going, well, she's trying to get her kid buckled in on the other side of the
a role, you know, she's not trying to be disruptive or a pain in the butt. And there's other times people take things and they just get completely unhinged, and then they cause the flight to either turn around and come back, and then you got to get escorted off by police. I mean, they don't play on flights anymore.
Well, and you just, you know, realize all the garbage that flight attendants do put up with
day
in and day out basis. So I get it. It's like, we got rules, this is the deal, and you kind of hold firm to what you have to do.
Absolutely.
What do you love or hate about flying? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids is crashing. He has a fear of heights. He doesn't trust planes and the mechanics that keep them up. This is, if he goes on a trip and entitles him to his feet leaving the ground, forget it. So he's not a fan of flying.
Well, and there's those that aren't a fan of it, but I think statistically speaking, I think you have a better chance of getting injured in a car crash than in a plane crash. But nowadays, well,
there's been a lot of close calls and mishaps lately.
Yeah, there's been a lot more mishaps lately. So, I mean, you got to obviously take that into consideration. But overall, I mean, anytime you leave the house, you can have something happen. It could be a car crash, a plane crash. It could be somebody crashing into you. It could be a plane crashing into your house, for all you know.
You never know.
Sometimes you just gotta play the odds a little bit, Vaughn.
Brian says cramped seating. Yeah, like I said, if you're tall or bigger, it's not fun sitting in a plane seat. Mark says all this technology, they still can't get it right. He hates airports and planes.
Yeah.
Doug says crowds, people holding up the line. Yeah. You have to bring your patience. You have to pack your patience when you go to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much we can do about that.
I'm gonna find all the patience I can muster when I have to fly. I will. I'll be good. Or I'll mutter under
Let's
my
hope
breath.
So.
I'm really good about muttering under my breath when I have to wait in lines.
Yeah, me too.
And then my kids will be like, Mom, stop it.
What?
5:54, time now to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, Monday morning, 5:57, word out to over the weekend. Lonnie Anderson of WKRP in Cincinnati has died. 79, I guess she was just a few days short of her 80th birthday.
She was also in a movie with Burt Reynolds, too.
Well, they were married for a while.
That sounds about right.
I
can't remember the name of the movie, though. It wasn't Smokey and the Bandit. It was some other one where he was a race car driver. I forget what that one was.
I'm not sure. Let's see. Night at the Roxbury.
She played somebody's mom in that one. Night at the Roxbury is a movie from the 90s. It was an SNL sketch that they, Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan.
Stroker Ace, is that the
Stroker
one?
Ace, Stroker that's Ace, that's the
there
one.
There you go.
Yep.
Did she and Burt Reynolds, they had been married 5 years. They later divorced, they met on the set in 1983 of the set of Stroker Ace.
Yeah.
She was actually from Minnesota originally.
Was she really? Is Lonnie,
born in St. Paul, raised in Roseville, Minnesota.
Is Lonnie Anderson her actual name, or did she use that as a stage name?
I want to say it was her actual name, unless she changed it prior to. Let me do the Wikipedia.
Because wouldn't Lonnie really kind of be like short for something? I mean, that's the only Lonnie that I know other than Mike and Lonnie, but that's definitely spelled differently.
Lonnie K. Anderson, that was her real name.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Minnesota native.
Yeah.
And like I said, she died just a few days short of her 80th birthday. That was a good show. That was a funny show.
Les Nessman, the kind of clueless news guy. What was the name? Was the character's name Fred, or was the actor's name Fred? He was like one of their salesmen. He always had the funky jacket on and stuff. He had the bald guy that was the boss, and then what's his name? Andy, who was the wasn't he really
Herb Tarlick?
Herb Tarlick. Yeah, wasn't Andy like the main character though? Like he was the one that moved to Cincinnati or something like that, right?
Andy was played by Gary Sandy. Venus Flytrap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course, Dr. Johnny. I always thought Dr. Johnny Fever was the... I don't know. They were all, like, important characters the cast. Les Nessman.
Gordon Jump was Arthur Carlson.
I mean, he was like the boss, right?
Mm-hmm. He was the boss. Lonnie Anderson was like their secretary up front.
I mean, I think they were all important characters.
Howard Hessman, what else was he on? Because he was like, I mean, it was weird to look at him on that show because he was on something that was newer when I was a kid. I was like, he was on Head of the Class, which is a 1986 sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
86 to 1990, he was the teacher in that. And then you look back at his older work at WKRP in Cincinnati, where he's Dr. Johnny Fever. You're just kind of like, huh, didn't really see that. Richard Sanders was Les Nessman.
Funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great show.
Tim Reed was Venus Flytrap. Oh, then the Bailey Quarter, she was kind of the new one there. That was Jan Smithers. But, yeah, I love that show. That was one of my favorite sitcoms back in the day. Granted, I probably saw all of them via rerun, just like Three's Company.
Yeah, because you would have been too young. Like I said, yeah, I John was Ritter. Relatively young when WKRP in Cincinnati was on. So.
WKRP in Cincinnati, Mork and Mindy, Three's Company, etc. A lot of those I caught in reruns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Three's Company, I swear, I actually got mad at my sister because I swear every day it was on, they played a rerun of it around like supper time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, it was more obviously that time period where everybody's sitting around the dinner table after dad comes home from work around 6-ish or so, and we're having supper together. And either before or after the news, they had an episode of that on. I told my sister, I was like, can we watch something else? We watch this all the time. We've already seen Three's Company like all the way through all of the seasons like 4 times. And it was just like, would watch it or whatever.
It was a good show.
I did like it.
And The Ropers was a nice spinoff of that too. 601, we are WDAY Fargo. 603, Chief Meteorologist Dean Mysaki has arrived now with a check on our forecast.
And how was your weekend, guys? Did you enjoy? I mean, yesterday was kind of cruddy, but did you enjoy the rest of the weekend?
It was fine to me because yesterday I was planning on doing what I love to do, which is nothing. So I did that.
I didn't think it was awful. I mean, yeah, we had some rain throughout the day, but I thought it was a decent day. The smoke has cleared out. Friday, I had to go do a bridal shower in the cities for my daughter, so that was okay.
Ah, all right. Well, it's we had some rain, some much-needed rain across parts of the area, and it's still raining right now. If you're going up north of 29, very far north, Fargo, up towards Hillsboro, it's raining. If you're going up 29 to Grand Forks, you'll run into some moderate showers halfway up, but other than that, just some light showers on radar, a little bit out towards DL, down towards Fergus, and in and around the FM area. We're going to continue to see these on and off light showers through the rest of the morning hours, at least through about 9 o'clock. We have temperatures currently across the area right around 64 with the southeast breeze at 12. And again, after this rain, we'll move kind of northward. We'll see a break as we head into the afternoon. Now, don't expect sunshine, but at least we'll see the light rain shut off, and then more will redevelop late in the day. And highs today only in the mid-70s, a little cool with south-southeast winds around 10 to 15. Those showers will...
Showers will mess up his Comrex,
Bonnie. Apparently. All right. Right now we have cloudy skies, 64 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the southeast at 9 miles an hour. 6:04, we're going to check out your national news from ABC. Then Jace has your WDAY radio sports. 6:08, time now for a check on your WDAY radio sports with Jace Denman.
Changes coming to the Fargo Force coaching staff as Jimmy Spratt has left to be assistant to the head coach at the for the Redhawks of Miami of Ohio. Although they don't like being called that, but
why?
Because they're Miami University, but there's University of Miami and Miami University, so you just easier to say Miami of Ohio and Miami of Florida. Either way, Jimmy is going back there to Ohio. I believe he was the player at Bowling Green, so I was mistaken. I thought he went back to Bowling Green. And then Jackson Keene, former UND Fighting Hawk, he will be going to Bemidji State to be an assistant coach with the Beavers. So that leaves an opening for the Fargo Force. So they hire Hank Johnson as goaltender coach. He played at Bemidji State. He was a Des Moines Buccaneer goalie coach, and he joins the staff for the 25-26 season. Minnesota Twins, believe it or not, after having their entire Major League roster shipped out, maybe not quite.
They got rid of a lot. 11, was it?
11 players, yes. Almost 40% of their roster. They get a 5-4 win over the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland. Matt Wallner, Royce Lewis, and Trevor Larnach all drove in runs during a 4-run first inning. They led the rest of the way. Cody Funderburk picked up his second win in relief. Twins remain in fourth place in the AL Central out of four teams, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's five, is there? Five, 10, 50. Maybe there is five. So there's fourth place. So they're not in last. So there's that. So they got that going for them, Bonnie.
It's not their year.
What?
It's not.
They can still make a push. Ooh. It's like the movie Major League with the Cleveland Indians. They'll just win the whole darn thing.
Okay.
They begin a series with the Detroit Tigers tonight. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks, they will return to Newman Outdoor Field tomorrow night for a series against the Lincoln Salt Dogs. First pitch scheduled for 7:02 p.m. Over the weekend, they took two out of three from the Lake County Dockhounds, including a 3-0 shutout victory on Sunday, which Ty Drandran pitched the complete game shutout. He did give up 10 hits, but no runs across the plate, so they win 3-0. Yeah. Minnesota Vikings news, Jared Allen was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame over the weekend. He was enshrined, got his formal little bust, which I tell you what, the sculptors that they have these days are doing a much better job making players, the busts look more like themselves.
Did they not used to look good?
Sometimes they were kind of questionable, to say the least. You're like, that doesn't look like him at all. Former Vikings defensive end was one of four inducted into the Hall on Saturday. Jared Allen spoke about being driven by fear, respect, and the pursuit of greatness during his NFL career. In six seasons with the Vikings, he had 85 and a half sacks in just 96 games. Minnesota Timberwolves adding to their roster heading into training camp. Team signed guard Johnny Juang to a one-year deal over the weekend. It's thought to be a more of a training camp deal. He spent the last three seasons with the Utah Jazz. He averaged 8.9 points in 64 games last season. Wolves also added forward Enrique Freeman on a two-way contract. So that means more than likely Jesse Edwards is the odd man out, especially after the Wolves drafted two centers in the offseason with Berenger and Zakarski both getting drafted and both being placed on the big roster and also with the Iowa Wolves respectively. Minnesota United dropped their second League's Cup match, which is a contest between the MLS clubs and the first division teams of Mexico. They played at Shell Energy Stadium on Saturday. Match was tied at three. They had a 2-1 lead going into half, but they lost on penalty kicks. The Loons have another League's Cup match against San Luis on Wednesday. We'll see how that one turns out. I don't believe they'll be advancing to the knockout stage. Minnesota Lynx, well, they set a record. They just flat out embarrassed the Las Vegas Aces, 111-58 from Vegas on Saturday. They led by as many as 53 points in the victory, but for whatever reason, Nafisa Collier was still in the game late in the third, rolled an ankle, so we'll see what her status is for tomorrow's game because they will be in Seattle to take on the Seattle Storm, who got beat by Indiana yesterday. Minnesota Lynx are 24-5 on the season, and Seattle should be 16-13 heading into that Tuesday night matchup. Minnesota Lynx are also finalizing their roster for that final stretch of this season. The team trading for Dallas wing guard DeJounte Carrington yesterday. To complete the deal, they sent Diamond Miller, Carly Samuelson, and a 2027 second-round pick back to Dallas to complete the deal. Carrington was named most improved player in the league last season. She's an all defensive team type of player. She's averaging 10.4 points and 5.1 rebounds per game this season. So we'll see if she can make an impact for the Lynx. And then lastly, Big Game James was down in Newton, Iowa, where William Bryan held off a late push to claim the checkered flag in the Iowa Corn 350. Driver of the number 24 car edged out Chase Briscoe by just over a second from Iowa Speedway. NASCAR Cup Series field heads to Bendy Watkins Glen next Sunday as the regular season winds down. There's just three races left until the NASCAR playoffs. And tonight from 6:30 to 8 p.m., you can listen to Track Talk with Jason Berg. He'll get you up to speed on all things in the local racing scene.
This is funny because it ended the way it did. It might not have been funny if it ended differently. The mascot for the Seattle Kraken.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Chased by a grizzly bear while shooting a promotional video.
Mm-hmm.
Kraken forward John Hayden and the mascot Bowie were in a river fishing.
Yep.
When a grizzly went into the water on the other side of the river, they posted it on X and showed them walking away from the bear, but the bear followed and started chasing them before it finally turned away from them and let them get
Yeah, I think it
safely to shore.
It might have been a little bit intrigued by what exactly was standing out in the water there with the man.
That's funny. I mean, it is after the fact.
Yeah,
could, like I said, it might I think
the mascot might have been a little bit more rattled than the hockey player.
Probably. If you're wearing a mascot uniform, it's not like you can run fast.
I know, and I would assume that actually they probably took the mascot feet off and had some waders on or whatever, but
which
still
would make it even tougher to run.
But the problem is,
and are you supposed to run when a grizzly is chasing you?
The problem is when you've got the mascot outfit on, especially the head, because always mascots are like these giant oversized heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is your field of vision? Because normally
it's not really
you've
good,
got pretty
usually
decent peripheral vision when you're not having to wear a big giant mask, so you can't tell where the bear is, I'm sure, either. So it looked kind of like it was coming after him, but it might have just been kind of, hey, get out of my territory. I'm trying to fish here.
I'm sure they were scared for a mm-hmm. little bit.
Yep. It was pretty interesting because you're just like, it looks like it's just kind of walking. I'm like, okay, hey, we got a bear. There's a bear over there. Got to keep an eye on it. And then it starts kind of getting closer, and then it kind of takes off running a little bit. And the mascot's like, whoa. He takes off jogging himself like, we got to get out of here. So
at least he didn't ditch him.
No. Well, that's the thing. If you got a guy in a mascot costume and there's a bear chasing you guys, I mean, you just have to be faster than the mascot. And if the mascot guy can't see very well, you
that's
just kind of
nice
trip him up a little bit.
I mean, aren't you in it together?
You don't have to be faster than a bear. You just have to be faster than one person.
Than the mascot.
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm glad it ended the way it ended because it could have been a whole lot worse. A lot of us woke up yesterday to news about two violent shootings here in Fargo, one in downtown Fargo. Another one occurred in the 4700 block of 16th Avenue South. The mayor has issued a statement on that. We'll talk more about it straight ahead right here on Bonnie and Friends. Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, 620. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, and you. We have cloudy skies, rain in the area, 64 degrees, southeast winds at 9. We'll see rain throughout the morning hours. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be along in about 15 minutes with another check on our forecast. Weekends made to enjoy time with your family and friends and a great time for giving thanks and saluting those who make it all possible, our military and first responders out there for us every single day. And when you enjoy your time with friends and family, here is a beer you may have not tried in the past. It's the finest of Italian beers. Peroni is a name well known for delicious beer.
Well, you know, I don't drink a lot of Italian beers, but I have tried this one.
You're fancy now.
I know, I like right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been brewed with superior ingredients since 1963, giving it a unique and uplifting taste. As a pale, golden, crisp, and refreshing beer with a delicate balance of bitterness, citrus, and aromatic notes with a great, clean finish. Some would call it, Bonnie, a modern Italian masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Other people would call it delicious. You simply need to taste it for yourself. Peroni Nastro Azzurro, now available in your favorite local liquor store. And remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
It makes you feel fancy. It is. It's fancy. I like that.
I just feel fancy all the time when I'm around
fancy
you.
Fancy pants. Yeah, you're welcome. I kind of class you up a little bit.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Flatland Music Flashback brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We bring it to you every Monday through Friday at 6:56. Today we're going to be showcasing this singer and this song. The song actually was written by a 15-year-old girl who drove to this singer's house, claimed her car broke down, and when he agreed to help her, she sprang the song on him. He ended up recording it at a faster tempo than his recording, and it became a big hit, number one hit. Find out what it is in Flatland Music Flashback coming your way right around 6:56 this morning. I know a lot of us, I'm sure you were the same way too, woke up yesterday morning, you'd start searching for your news, and you hear about the deadly shootings that occurred in Fargo. We initially learned that one person died downtown area off of Broadway, and then later we had heard about a second person dying. There was two separate shootings.
Yep.
One occurred by District 64 there in downtown Fargo off of Broadway. The other was in the 4700 block of 16th Avenue South. The downtown one, there were three victims, one dead, two others hurt. We are not sure yet if those shootings are connected. Police have not given us indication that those shootings are connected. But we do know that police are looking for a suspect in connection with the downtown Broadway shooting. They are looking for 22-year-old Tyreek Jones. If you spot him, you can go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Call police right away. Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney issued a statement last night urging residents to remain calm, reminding the public the city remains safe and unified. Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski also says detectives are actively collecting evidence, interviewing witnesses. You know, it was bar closing time right around 2 o'clock or so when the shootings occurred. Lots of people downtown, so of course they had to call in extra law enforcement from different jurisdictions to kind of help with crowd control, because you know how that goes.
Yeah.
When you get a crowd and there's stuff happening and not everybody behaves.
Yeah, there's that. And, I mean, sometimes I would say this is another, you know, situation that we've seen at times. It's just obviously it's gotten more violent, but tempers flare when people are out and they maybe have too much to drink or maybe there's just too much pounding of the chest, et cetera, and saying I'm better than you or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, unfortunately, people obviously have access to firearms. And when things get out of control, instead of using your words to de-escalate or to come to a conclusion or just simply walk away, someone turns to violence and shootings like this happen. The other one, though, Bonnie, are you said 4700 block of, is it 17th or 16th?
16th Avenue South, 4700 block, 16th Avenue South.
So we're talking like over by Shields?
Yes.
The big Shields?
Correct. Okay. Yep. There's an apartment complex.
Yeah, right there's there. Yeah, exactly. There's behind over there. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see if they're connected at all. Obviously, at two different locations, it doesn't come off as off the top of your head that it is related, but you never know. But as this metro area continues to grow, I mean, I think the frequency of some events like this happening, we see more often.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw 2 years ago in the Officer Willeen situation where we had someone that had been here in the Fargo-Moorhead area for years, and then they thought about carrying out a mass casualty event. And so we have a shooting like this downtown, which I know that coming up at about 7:10, we're going to talk to John Wilson, self-defense firearms instructor. And, you know, some of the questions that we can have or discuss with them is how you should react in a situation
like this.
Because, number one, if you're going to carry, you need to be have that concealed carry. I'm not sure. I don't know that North Dakota is an open carry state. I know South Dakota is. But if you have concealed carry, you've got to have that permit to be able to do that. And what is the best way to respond to an event like this? And I know we've had, in my last job, we did have mass shooter training for like federal buildings and stuff like that. And it's not a great situation to have to prepare for, but yet that's the day and age we live in.
You gotta be prepared, yeah.
But it's a different scenario when you're out in public, just kind of out having a good time on a Saturday night and something like this happens.
You just never know, right? But you can't live in fear either.
No, you can't live in fear. You can't go overboard and assume that anytime anybody's yelling at each other that there's going to be some type of shooting or something like that. I mean, you got to take the totality of the circumstances, the time and place that things are going. I mean, normally in a situation like that, the best thing is to get away from this scenario. And not get involved
exactly,
in it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I would caution anybody that does have concealed carry that thinks they need to come out and show their own weapon and try and, quote-unquote, de-escalate the situation. That might not
be
the best.
Don't want to make an already chaotic situation.
Especially if you're not a uniformed police officer in a situation like that. So, yeah, you got to use common sense, even if you're just trying to be a good Samaritan.
And it was a very chaotic scene. Like I said, it's happened right around bar closing time too. Just before 2 a.m. when this happened. If you want to read the full statements from Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney or Police Chief Dave Zabolski, you can go to WDAYRadioNow.com. We have it all posted there. Our news team's got a number of stories. They were following it from the beginning there. Also, the picture again. Police have identified a suspect they want to talk to in connection with that Broadway shooting. Tyreek Jones is his name. And again, his picture is posted at WDAYRadioNow.com. I encourage you to go there and check it out. If you happen to see him, do not approach him. Rather, call 911 and let law enforcement officers know what you happen to see. And again, no word yet on whether the two shootings were connected, the one on Broadway in which three people were shot, one died from that, mm-hmm. one was serious, the other injuries were not serious, and then we have another person who died in the 4700 block of 16th Avenue South. Police asking for your patience. Obviously, they're working very hard to collect evidence, interview witnesses, and we just, you know, learned late last night about the potential suspect there. So as soon as they have more information to release to the media for us to get to you, they will certainly do so, and we will pass that along. But keep it tuned to WDAY Radio for the latest developments on those deadly shootings here in Fargo. 6:29, we're going to be heading into WDAY Radio News Center with Chris Larson coming up shortly. Also, Sturgis Motorcycle Rally got underway over the weekend, and already one fatality I saw. There was 13 other injuries I saw when doing a little searching around here this morning, but at least one fatality, and every year there's fatalities, you know, people.
Yep.
I don't think there's been a year that I've been reporting on that there hasn't been a fatality occurring in the region there.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I guess maybe people that aren't familiar with the Black Hills, Bonnie, obviously, you go out to Rapid City, and then you head, what is it, basically northwest to get up to Sturgis and Deadwood and stuff like that. A lot of times when people come out for the rally, they'll not only go to the rally. I mean, there are certain people that go just to the rally, but there's others that are biker, not necessarily bikers, like in a biker gang.
They go cruising,
touring. But they take their Harleys out, and they go tour the area. Mm-hmm. And that's why some of them maybe pull them out there rather than riding them the whole way. But you go out there, and you get a chance to see, you know, the Black Hills. You get to see Mount Rushmore. You get to see Crazy Horse Monument. There's a number of things to see out there. So if you head down, you know, south of Rapid City, that's where you get to go to Keystone and things like that. There's these little small towns that have a lot of souvenirs, even out by the Badlands. If you stop by the Badlands, you can stop at Wall Drug and buy a bunch of stuff. But there's a lot of curves. I know that my younger brother, who's lived out in Rapid City for decades now, sometimes when he would head from Rapid City out to where he used to live in Hill City, there's a number of curves and there's, you know, incline, decline. And if you're not familiar with the area or it's at night, I mean, if you're going too fast thinking that it's going to be straight or, you know, a mild curve up ahead and you hit a curve too fast, you can lose control of your bike. Mm-hmm. And obviously with motorcycles, there's less there to protect you if you're going too fast and you miss a turn.
Yeah, so already one fatality, 13 mm-hmm. injuries out in Sturgis. A 58-year-old man died when he lost control and slammed into three other bikes. His other biker suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. 6:31, 6:33, time now to find Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Morning, Dino.
All right, quit turning off my mic like you did last time. That was kind of rude.
Sometimes you're better when your mic is off.
There's many times I'm better with that.
Yeah,
off.
I know, right?
You better hurry up and get the weather in before we lose you again.
No kidding. Well, we picked up some rain over the weekend, yesterday mainly, and it's totaled about 1/3 of an inch here in Fargo, about 1/4 inch in Sabin, but some heavier amounts, Castleton to Leonard, where those areas picked up about 3/4 of an inch or a little bit more. Also another heavier amount out in Lakes Country, Underwood to about Elbow Lake, where they picked up an inch. Hillsboro picked up about 1/4, Wahpeton 15 hundredths, Ypsilanti out to our west, 1.48 was the most. So a little heavier there just south of the Jamestown area. Today, well, we're in the 60s right now, mid-60s area-wide. There's still a few light showers, mainly north of the 94 corridor, basically going all the way up the 29 corridor into Grand Forks. So if you're traveling on 29 between Grand Forks and Fargo, you're going to hit some moderate rain showers at times. And then another batch out around the DL area out down towards Fergus. The rest of the stuff is light and scattered. But here's how it's going to pan out for today. We'll see these morning light scattered showers. They'll kind of fade away after about 10 o'clock. We'll see a break then from late morning through about mid to late afternoon. We'll have dry hours if you have any outdoor plans. And then more showers will come back into the forecast as we head towards evening. Highs today only in the mid-70s, a little cool, with south-southeast winds about 10 to 20. A few leftover showers tonight, no heavy rain expected, with lows in the low to mid-60s. And Tuesday, we'll have a dry start to the day, but then showers and storms come in evening onwards. Some of those could be on the strong side overnight Tuesday night. We'll have highs in the upper 70s, close to 80 on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, we'll see dry conditions, except some morning storms with highs in the mid-80s. And WeFest starts on Thursday. It's going to start out dry, hot and humid, with highs in the 80s to near 90. And then a round of storms comes in both Thursday night. Some of those could be strong to severe, leaving the daytime hours on Friday warm and humid. And then another round of storms Friday night. And some of those could be on the strong side and leading Saturday to cooler. It looks like a cooler weekend. But WeFest, it looks like we're going to time these storms out that they'll be on the overnight side of things. Mm. So that's good news.
Something to pay attention to if people are tenting, though, or in a camp.
Oh, yeah. It's because some of these storms could pack a punch as we head into Thursday and Friday. So we'll want to be weather aware on those 2 days as well.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
636, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network, and Jace has your WDAY Radio Sports. 641, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Dedman.
Fargo Force have a new goalie coach. Hank Johnson, formerly of Bemidji State and the Des Moines Buccaneers of the USHL, will be your new goaltender coach. Why, may you ask? Well, Fargo Force lost a couple coaches over the last week. Jimmy Spratt is an assistant to the head coach at Miami of Ohio, and Jackson Keene has taken an assistant coaching job at Bemidji State. So congratulations to Jimmy and Jackson, which, quite honestly, Bonnie, ruined my whole social media post I wanted to make with the Fargo Force with James and myself.
What were you going to do?
Well, they have Jackson and Jimmy, and I have James and Jay, so I was going to have this do a whole thing where we introduce ourselves to each other.
Oh.
Jimmy, James, James, man. Jimmy, Jimmy, James, James, Jimmy, Jackson, James, James, Jackson, and then we did the same thing with me.
You're just going to have to rethink this, how it's going to work now.
I mean, Hank doesn't work the same as everybody having a J name, so there's that. Minnesota Twins somehow pull off the upset over the Cleveland Guardians with a 5-4 win yesterday from Progressive Field. Matt Wallner, Royce Lewis, and Trevor Larnach all drove in runs during a four-run first inning, and they led the rest of the way. Cody Funderburk picked up his second win in relief. Twins are still in the fourth in the AL Central at 52-59. They begin a series against the Detroit Tigers tonight. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks return to Newman Outdoor Field tomorrow night after taking 2 out of 3 from the Lake County Dockhounds. They'll take on the Lincoln Salt Dogs starting tomorrow night. First pitch at 7:02. They won Saturday and Sunday. Sunday capped the series win then 2-1 with a 3-0 shutout, and Ty Jandrin got the complete game shutout, going the distance for the Redhawks. Over the weekend, Jared Allen was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The former Vikings defensive end was one of 4 players inducted in the hall on Saturday. He spent 6 seasons with the Vikings and has 85.5 sacks in 96 games during his tenure. Minnesota Timberwolves are adding to their training camp roster. Johnny Joang signs a 1-year non-guaranteed contract, and then they've also signed Enrique Freeman to a 2-way deal. So those guys will both be taking part in the training camp, probably starting next month. Johnny will try and make the team, but it's up for debate. And then also with the Wolves drafting both Zakarski and Berger, they both kind of take the place of Jesse Edwards, who I think is going to be released from the squad if he hasn't been already. Minnesota United lost their second League's Cup match against Club America last night. It was tied at 3 at the end of regulation. Minnesota lost 8-7 on penalty kicks. So obviously, they were finding a way into the back of the net, but they just got outscored there. Loons have another League's Cup match against San Luis on Wednesday. Then they probably get back to MLS play after that. Minnesota Lynx, well, they were impressive over the weekend. On Saturday, they beat the Las Vegas Aces by 53 points, if my math is correct. No, 11 and 42. Yeah, that is 53 points. They led by as many as 53 points in the victory. But Nafisha Collier did turn an ankle. We'll see what her status is, because the Lynx will head to Seattle to take on the Storm. Lynx are 24-5 on the season. Last I checked, the New York Liberty, who they just beat recently, have 10 losses on the season. So no matter what happens tomorrow night, they will stay with the best record in the league. Minnesota Lynx trying to tweak that roster for another, trying to get their fifth ever WNBA championship this season. They traded for Dallas wing guard Dejounte Carrington yesterday. The Lynx sent Diamond Miller, Carly Samuelson, and a 2027 second-round pick to Dallas to complete the deal. So those two ladies will be joining Paige Beckers from Minnesota down there, and Carrington will head to the Lynx. She was named Most Improved Player in the league last season. She's averaging 10.4 points and 5.1 rebounds per game, so we'll see if she can add to it. I believe she is 5'11", so definitely in that guard range. In racing, William Byron held off a late push to claim the checkered flag in the Iowa Corn 350. Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, and Ryan Preece rounded out the top five finishers. Chase Briscoe was second. NASCAR Cup Series heads to Watkins Glen next Sunday as the regular season winds down. There are only three races left until the playoffs. And speaking of racing, tonight you can tune in to Track Talk with Jason Berg. He'll get you up to date on the local racing scene and beyond right here on WDAY Radio.
And he usually does a show over at Midtown Tavern in Moorhead. He'll be over there if you want to go check out the show. Sports This Hour has been brought to you by Pebble Lake Golf Club in Fergus Falls. They combine the beauty of nature and the challenge of a championship course. Book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com. News out about this guy here, Dave Edmonds.
I was like, why? No. We got the transition here. Just,
there's been, we talked about Lonnie Anderson, yeah. WKRP in Cincinnati. And
Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, there's just been a lot lately. Dave Edmonds in critical condition after going into what his wife calls a major cardiac arrest. CC Edmonds posted on Facebook that her husband of 40 years died in her arms before a nurse was able to revive him with CPR. She says he has brain damage and severe memory loss, and the risk of another cardiac arrest is high. He is 81 years old. I hear you knocking. That was a top five hit. Also had a number of other hit songs back in the 1970s, but it's just what it is. I mean, all these famous people that we grew up listening to as younger adults are getting older themselves and passing on.
I mean, the funny thing is that, you know, I was just noticing the other day because there was a commercial for a celebrity who wants to be a millionaire, right? And the host from Jeopardy, and what's his name, that the smart guy that won? Ken Jennings was there with Matt Damon. And you start to look at Matt Damon and you start to realize how old he is, you know, and that just kind of happens for every generation. We've had a lot of our celebrities that we grew up watching, Bonnie, have now passed on, and now we've got other people that kind of not really take their place, but, you know, the next generation of celebrities, et cetera, kind of come about. And so we're seeing all these older celebrities, you know, pass away, but then, you know, there's going to come a time when our kids are going to be like, you know, when they get older and 30 years down the road, they're going to see some of their celebrities and some of their heroes pass away, and it's going to be the same for them. So it's just, it's always kind of happening, but it's weird when there are more people that we grew up with that, are passing away, and you're just like, wow, how did I get old?
That's really, we're all getting older. Yep. 6:48, this group almost got themselves in trouble after a 16-year-old girl stowed away on their plane. Father wanted to press charges. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We'll bring you that right around 6:56. Stand by. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date this movie soundtrack was released. It was a huge commercial success. Sold 32 million copies worldwide, is one of the best-selling albums of all time. We'll find out what soundtrack that was, what movie it was, coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time now for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
Bonnie sings this to me every morning. On this date in 1957, the Everly Brothers introduced their upcoming single, Wake Up Little Susie, on the Ed Sullivan Show.
The song created a controversy. Some radio stations actually banned it. It was about a high school boy and his girlfriend who fall asleep during a movie and miss curfew. Scandal.
How dare they?
Scandal in the 1950s.
1958. Billboard introduced the Hot 100 Singles Chart. Ricky Nelson was at number one with Poor Little Fool. The song was actually written by a 15-year-old girl named Sharon Sheely, who drove to Nelson's house and claimed her car broke down.
When he agreed to help her, she sprang the song on him. Her version had a much faster tempo than his recording, though.
I wonder how fast a tempo.
Faster than that.
They were monkeying around.
Well, she wanted to monkey around. I don't know.
On this date in 1967, a 16-year-old girl who was a huge fan of the Monkees stowed away on the band's plane between shows in Minneapolis and St. Louis. Let's repeat that part. She stowed away.
She stowed away. Her father threatened to bring charges for transporting a minor across state lines.
They didn't know she was there.
I know.
Come on, Dad. Maybe not John's best range of work when he was.
I like this tune.
This tune is fine, but I'm just saying the whole time he was with Yoko. 1980, John Lennon and Yoko Ono began work on the album Double Fantasy. Ended up being Lennon's last studio effort. He was shot to death 3 weeks after its release.
Yeah. It was initially poorly received, but went on to win Album of the Year at the 1981 Grammy Awards. The song Starting Over went to number one after Lennon's death.
This is the only movie I have ever walked out of.
What is wrong with you?
This is a great movie. This movie was terrible.
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
1987, the Dirty Dancing soundtrack was released. It was a huge commercial success and went on to sell 32 million copies worldwide. It is one of the best-selling albums of all time.
You bet. It spent 18 weeks at number one. Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren spent 21 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100 charts.
Did you have a hairstyle like this guy?
Did I what?
Have a hairstyle like this guy?
I did. Yeah, I did. Very high on top. Oh, my goodness. Short and choppy. Yeah, I did.
Having a birthday today. Paul Reynolds of A Flock of Seagulls is 63. The English new wave and synth pop band helped define dance music, contemporary pop, and electronic music. They're still around. Iran was their highest charting single. It's Iran, not named after the country.
Yes.
It reached number 9 on the Billboard charts in 1982.
And if you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. 7 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 7:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki joining us now with a check on our starting out rainy anyway forecast.
Yeah, we've got some showers on radar right now between Grand Forks and Fargo on the 29 corridor. So if you're heading there, in between Grand Forks and Fargo, we're going to run into some showers. And then another batch out around the Lakes Country area from about DL down to Fergus. Now, we picked up about a quarter to a third of an inch of rain yesterday here in the FM area. A little bit more down to our South Castleton to Leonard, picked up 3/4 inch. And Underwood to about Elbow Lake out in Lakes Country picked up about an inch. Hillsboro, 1/4 inch. Wahpeton, 1500s. Ypsilanti out to our west there, about 148. We're in the mid-60s right now. We're not going to move a lot today, mid-70s. And the showers will come to an end by about 10 o'clock. We'll see some dry hours between about 10 and 4. And then more showers and thunder showers will redevelop. And winds will be a little breezy. Not too bad, though, about 10 to 20 out of the south-southeast. And then a few leftover showers tonight, mid-60s. And Tuesday should be a dry day for the most part. With partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies, we'll have winds increasing a bit out of the south-southeast, highs in the upper 70s to near 80, and then a round of storms will move in from the west. Tuesday, it looks like evening into the overnight hours. Some of those could pack a punch. And then dry Wednesday into Thursday, with highs warming up into the 80s to near 90, and then another round of storms Thursday night. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side, and another round possible Friday night. Of strong to severe storms. So an active week it was supposed to be, according to the LRC, and it's kind of panning out that way. And we're going to warm things up towards the middle and end of the week for those heat lovers. The weekend looks like it will cool back down if you're planning on anything this weekend. A few question marks. Do we get the rain with the cooler air, or do we get the sunshine? And it looks like kind of a mix of both right now. Mm. Our models are trending drier, which would be nice, but temperatures will be a little cooler in the 70s after the heat and humidity. But, you know, 2-3 days of heat and humidity, that's nothing.
It's going to be a long 3 days.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Goodness.
We might have to complain about it.
I know.
The snow is going to be flying soon.
I know. All right. The weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, but it's also time for our Tailgaters 2-degree guarantee. Every Monday, Dean's going to give us the expected temperature for today. And if he's within 2 degrees, you can celebrate at Tailgaters on Tuesday with a $2 tap for domestic pint if you're in your first one. After that, they're just $4 a piece. But if he's wrong, then you can celebrate his failure with a $3 Long Island iced tea. And after that, they'll just be $4 a piece. So, Dean, what is your predicted high for today?
I think he disappeared. He forgot.
Red orange.
Why would he do that?
Hi, John. What did you say over there, John?
Red orange.
Dean doesn't have the longest attention span, so we'll check in with him
at
7:35.
So,
all of a sudden, I saw his signal. It's like he decided to go bye-bye again.
All right. So anyway, we'll find out what his predicted high is today. It'll probably be the same as he has for his 3-degree guarantee, which will be coming up at about 7:45. But you can listen tomorrow morning and see if Dean gets the Tailgaters 2-degree right or wrong.
Come
and if,
back.
Is he there?
I haven't left.
Well, you weren't there. No, what is your
something is wrong on your end because I'm just sitting here. I can hear you guys just fine.
No,
it
would still be on your end.
Oh no, absolutely.
Jace is an expert with equipment.
Don't be telling me that it's on our end because
oh,
we're not doing
it's funny. It doesn't have this.
Yeah,
problem
you should
on our
probably look.
Station.
You should probably look at the stats and make sure you're still transmitting and also receiving. Anyway, what is the 2-degree guarantee?
75 guys.
75.
75 for today's Tailgaters 2-degree guarantee.
Maybe restart that.
Yeah,
puppy. You are fizzling,
because he's cutting out.
Yeah, restart.
All right, so
that.
Like I said, if he's right, you're going to get that first pint at $2, then $4 each after that. If he's wrong, you get a Long Island iced tea for $3, and the rest of the night it'll be $4. So get down there, and obviously on Thursday night you can enjoy live music out on the patio. Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo.
He's probably doing that on purpose because he likes new things, so he wants new equipment, so he's making it act up this morning, and then blame us for it.
Look, all I know is that the equipment I use when we're broadcasting remotely, it works, and that's why we don't let anybody else touch it.
I know. And I don't.
And if somebody does touch it, then both James and I get pretty antsy about it.
No, trust me, I know all about that. All right, John Wilson is going to be joining us in studio coming up in a couple of minutes talking self-defense. 7:07, first of all, we're going to get your national news in from ABC, and then Jace has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports. 7:10, John Wilson going to be joining us shortly. We'll talk self-defense and more. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
Vikings have another Hall of Famer as Jared Allen was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame over the weekend. Former defensive end was one of four players inducted into the Hall of Fame. He spent 6 seasons with the Vikings and had 85.5 sacks in just 96 games. Minnesota Twins, they held off the Guardians, believe it or not, 5-4 and a win in Cleveland. Matt Wallner, Royce Lewis, and Trevor Larnach all drove in runs in a 4-run first inning. Twins led the rest of the way, Cody Funderburk picked up his second win in relief. They now begin a series with the Detroit Tigers tonight. FM Redhawks took 2 out of 3 over the weekend from the Lake County Dockhounds. They're going to start a series against the Lincoln Salt Dogs tomorrow night. First pitch scheduled for 7:02. Yesterday's 3-0 win featured a complete game by Ty Drandran, who got that complete game shutout. Fargo Force, a couple coaches moving on. Jimmy Spratt is going to be an assistant to the head coach at the Miami of Ohio University of Red Hawks, and then Jackson Keene will be leaving the Force to become an assistant coach with Bemidji State. So both of them moving on to the Division I level. So congratulations to both those coaches. In their absence, the Fargo Force need another person on the bench. They hired a goaltender coach, Hank Johnson, who was goaltender coach for the Des Moines Buccaneers of the USHL. He was a former goaltender at Bemidji State University. Just kind of coincidence there with Jackson Keene headed there. Minnesota Timberwolves, they added to their roster, signing training camp deals for Johnny Juang and Enrique Freeman. Freeman on a two-way contract. Juang is a one-year deal, but probably just a training camp guarantee. Minnesota United lost their second League's Cup match to Club America last night. They lost on penalty kicks. They have one more League's Cup match against San Luis this weekend, so we'll see if they can actually win that one. I don't think it matters anymore. Minnesota Lynx with an impressive 111-58 victory over the Las Vegas Aces this weekend. But even though as impressive as a 53-point win is, they did lose a star player Nafisa Collar to an ankle injury. We'll see how serious that is. Hopefully she's just day-to-day. They are in first place in the WNBA at 24-5, and they visit the Seattle Storm tomorrow night. And in addition to getting ready for that matchup, Minnesota Lynx trying to load up that roster for a playoff push. They traded for guard Dejanay Carrington yesterday. They sent Diamond Miller, Carly Samuelson, and a 2027 second-round pick to Dallas to complete that deal. Carrington was named most improved player in the league last season. She's averaging 10.4 points and 5.1 rebounds per game this season. And finally, our very own little Jimmy was out in Newton, Iowa, where he watched William Byron hold off a late push from Chase Briscoe to take the checkered flag in the Iowa Corn 350. Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, and Ryan Preece also rounded out the top five. NASCAR Cup Series field heads to Watkins Glen next Sunday as the regular season winds down. There's only three races left until the playoffs. And speaking of racing, tonight, Track Talk from 6:30 a.m. with Jason Berg, who'll get you up to date on the local racing scene and beyond.
7:13, John Wilson joining us now in studio here on Bonnie and Friends. Got a lot of experience with firearms instructor at Red River Range. Lots of experience, and we've talked to John a few different times here. Self-defense, violent incidents, chaos erupting in downtown Fargo early yesterday morning, John, with a shooting. Three people shot there. One of them died. One of them seriously injured. If people are out in an area like that, it was bar closing time, 2 in the morning. What would you do? Let me ask you that. What would you do when you hear gunfire, crowds, chaotic scene?
Well, when I was young and stupid, which we all were,
right.
You know, we never paid attention to that age-old adage, nothing good ever happens after midnight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, you know, and this gets back around to situational awareness, yes. which we teach you to the range. You know, you need to know where you're at, why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
What time, you know, you need to be paying attention. Now, in a situation like that, if you don't know where the shooter is coming from, you don't want to draw your weapon and just randomly fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I can see today that there will be a flock of people going to our local big box over on 45th Street that sells firearms.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be, I need a gun. I need a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no point in carrying one if you're not going to practice, if you're not going to train, if you're not going to educate yourself.
Yep.
You know, the number of people that I saw during the COVID panic, you know, when everybody was worried that, you know, the apocalypse was on, that went and bought firearms at gun shows, every store in town was cleaned out, ammunition was gone, and you never see these people at our range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you based it on the number of people that bought firearms during that time, our range should be full virtually 24/7, 365 with people practicing.
Yep.
And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the diehards. You know, we have law enforcement now that's training over there with the new addition.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Don't get me started on that. there's some of them who need a little help yet.
Yeah, there's always some. Yep.
You know, and I understand law enforcement's busy. I mean, you know, you put in a long day. The last thing you want to do at the end of the day is go to a range and practice. But, you know, it's the same issue, and it's a human issue. You can't just, you know, point a finger and say, yeah, this person is going to diligently practice and this one is, but that one isn't. I mean, we're all human.
Yeah. And, you know, my last career, you know, we had a minimum of four times a year where we're qualifying. And quite honestly, could it have been more? Absolutely. Granted, now we were in a different situation. We're not local PD where we're out on the streets carrying all the time. Different scenario with the feds, et cetera. But I do know that we did have mass shooting situations, training. And normally the three things they would tell people, especially if it's in a building, now outside a bar closing time, it's a little bit different. But the thing that they normally told us or they taught us was that number one, what you want to do if you hear gunshots is to more or less run away. Get out of the area.
Yeah, fight or flight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So get away from that situation. Number two, if you're in a building where there's a mass shooting, a mass casualty type event, you want to hide and kind of, you know, provide some type of protection, you know, put some stuff in front of the door so people can't get in. And the third and last thing, especially if you're unarmed, is you want to fight. And those are a different situation than obviously the downtown one. But still, the main point is that if there's a shooting going down there, more times than not, you're going to want to get out of the area, not stick around. And so my concern with a situation like
Saturday, John, is that if people actually have your concealed carry license and they are carrying in a situation like that, number one, I hope you're not drinking and carrying at the same time, number one.
No.
And then number two, they need to know the situation, and they can't just, well, I've got a gun, I'm going to go solve the situation, because that honestly can make things worse, especially if they don't hear or don't respond, because obviously everybody gets tunnel vision when it comes to incidents like this. If you get tunnel vision, you're trying to stop a threat to help the community, but then police officers show up and you're not hearing because you're so tunnel vision on the shooter that you can make things worse, especially for the police.
Yeah, well, you know, I always tell people, if you've ever been absolutely had the crap scared out of you, mm-hmm. you know, what happens to you at that point? You get that fuzzy feeling, you get that buzzing, ringing yep. sensation in your ears, mm-hmm. and your vision goes down to just like a small circle momentarily. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is where situational awareness, this is where practice and training all come in hand in hand. You need to, first of all, you need to take care of yourself and your immediate mm-hmm. family.
Yep.
I mean, that's part of the reason for carrying.
Yep.
Nothing more. You are not Superman. Mm-hmm. You are not the police. It is not your job.
It's not a movie.
Protect the world.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a John Wick movie.
No, it's not.
You know, so first of all, yeah, you want to get yourself undercover.
Yep.
Behind an object, whatever you need to do. You need to assess the situation. And then you need to decide if you're going to confront the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, look at the Walmart stabbing in Lansing. That guy was caught in the parking lot by a concealed carry holder.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Didn't even have to fire a shot. Just yep. got the gun out into play yep. and said, yep. that's it, buddy, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, and yeah. held him for law enforcement.
Give him commands. And hopefully, obviously, if they see your weapon and if that person has a knife, they're going to follow those commands because they don't want to get shot.
Well, theoretically.
Theoretically, yeah.
You know,
reactionary.
And this is where I have a lot of respect
for
law enforcement mm-hmm. because you have to do all this, in their case, a lot of the time, in literally a split second.
Yes.
Right. And this is where some of, you know, what they call bad shootings occur.
Exactly. It does, but it's also that's sometimes the public's lack of knowledge in those situations because you're trying to process the totality of everything, the situation, the number of people that are there, the location you're at.
Yep.
All of that has to go into consideration when we determine if it's a bad shoot or a good shoot.
Yeah, and I don't know the numbers downtown, mm-hmm. you know, but obviously they said there was a fairly large crowd downtown mm-hmm. yeah. when this occurred.
Bar closing time, yeah. if you can yeah. imagine that.
You know, again, nothing good happens after midnight. Yeah. You know, and like I said, this is part of the reason why I like to dissuade people sometimes from carrying, even though people mm-hmm. go, well, that's kind of dumb that you would have that attitude, John, because you're a big Second Amendment guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but you have to understand, it's a tool. You know, you have to understand how to use the tools available, mm-hmm. you know. In a situation, I brought this along just for giggles, and I'll pull it real quick here.
Yeah. One of those sirens, self-defense sirens.
Ah, yeah.
Now, this is fine for a lady if you're going to carry this. Mm-hmm. But if you're getting confronted by somebody, don't start yelling help. What is the word to use to holler out when you activate something like this? Even if you don't have this, even just holler out on the street at night. Fire.
Oh.
Fire.
Why do you holler fire?
That gets everybody's attention.
Yeah. If you're yelling rape, assault, somebody's hurt, you know, blah, 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 you can yell anything you want. Most people will not get involved.
Mm.
Or they'll maybe look out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, people come outside when they hear the word fire. Because why? That's human curiosity.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, it's, yeah, like I said, this this weekend's been an interesting weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I all I can say is that, you know, if you're out there listening and you're really thinking you need a firearm at this point, you know, or you're going to dig that one out of the drawer you bought yeah. 5 years ago and haven't shot
mm-hmm.
and start carrying it, because mm-hmm. you can in North
yeah.
Dakota.
Right,
we have constitutional
right.
carry.
Mm-hmm.
Please start training
yep.
start
right.
educating,
mm-hmm.
start understanding, start practicing. Because without any of that, you're absolutely useless. You're the last person I want next to me in the foxhole.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yep, exactly.
Good stuff. It always goes too fast, but we'll get you back in here. He always brings in different
yep.
things. I don't know what else you have sitting over there
you
in a box.
You got a Cubaton.
What's that? Is it just a baton
yeah,
that you can
well,
whack somebody
with? It's basically a little pokey stick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's got a sharpened end on it. And again, even this, you know, it's a great tool, but if you have absolutely no idea how to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
it's like this gimmick. I brought this one along. The
survival pen.
Yes, the survival pen. Yeah. This is like a James Bond type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You but know. it does write, though. I will just say that.
It does write. It does have a little flashlight that mm-hmm. lights up, and it's got a little concealed knife.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can walk around totally unnoticed with mm-hmm. this at most mm-hmm. locations.
Yeah.
Is it the only tool I'm going to carry in my toolbox?
Probably not.
Right.
No.
Right. Right.
No. But I just thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah. But the another main point of this weekend, though, is obviously situational awareness. Situation like that happens, obviously try and get out of the area.
I'm going to look for getting undercover mm-hmm. and reassessing the situation.
Yep.
Now,
yeah.
if the person with a gun in their hand is coming towards me and that's the one who's firing into the crowd, I'm going to suspect that that's probably the perp. At that point, mm-hmm. well, I'm going to try and take him out.
Mm-hmm.
If I think it's a good idea, yes.
Yep.
But you know, the negative is now I become another right, active shooter right, in the same
right.
situation.
Yes, right. Exactly.
You know, and that's where all this training and education,
yep.
mm-hmm.
you know, and situational awareness. Like I said, all this stuff ties together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Take the classes at the range.
You bet.
Absolutely.
All right,
oh,
thanks.
By the way,
yeah.
next month, the month from now,
yeah.
September 5th, our gun show.
Okay.
Out at the Red River Range.
Oh, all nice. Right.
That's coming up, too.
If we look online, Red River Range, we can get more details on it.
Yippers.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, John.
Have a great day.
You bet. 724, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, reorganizing USDA. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel talks all about it next. 725, we think she's finally back home. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel, you were on the road all week last week.
I was, and I will be again tomorrow, but so far, so good. I'm going to soak it up while I'm home for a few days.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure you enjoyed it, and you learned lots of stuff, made lots of connections.
It was a great week, and it was certainly worth attending all of those items, and hopefully folks got a chance to enjoy and follow along as well. Now, speaking of being on the road, USDA is thinking about taking their whole show on the road, you might say. USDA Secretary of Ag Brooke Rollins has announced a reorganization for USDA. They want to refocus on core operations and better align with their founding mission of supporting American ag, ranching, and forestry. Little known fact, in the last 4 years, USDA's workforce grew by 8% and employee salary increased 14.5%. And that included hiring thousands of employees, but no plan on how to pay them. Well, that's not good business. So one of the things that's about to happen is critical functions of the department will continue uninterrupted, but there will be, in fact, a movement of bringing the USDA closer to people. There will be 5 hub locations and current federal locality rates, which means, you know, what's the percentage of federal jobs in those areas. So one would be Raleigh, North Carolina, 22% going there. Kansas City, Missouri, 18%. Indianapolis would be another 18%. Fort Collins, Colorado would get 30%. And Salt Lake City, Utah, 17%. There is currently a comment period that is open so that you may go in and give your suggestions and ideas about this as well. But right now it would look like USDA will vacate and return to several different places outside of the Washington, D.C. area and have a better presence, more local to where agriculture is happening across the country.
Now, when it comes to these positions that they've either added to, et cetera, what do you know what type of positions they are? Because obviously I know that every department has an Office of Inspector General. Those are your law enforcement ones for each agency. I would assume that they've got either analysts, they've got those that help probably with farmers, et cetera, trying to get either grants or federal funds, et cetera, et cetera. What type of positions does USDA have that they're going to kind of get closer to the people?
Well, we know that out of the 4,600 employees within the National Capital Region, that they're looking at keeping a certain segment of them there. Mm-hmm. USDA expects no more than 2,000 of those employees to remain in that Washington, D.C. area. What jobs will they have? They'll be the folks that are most closely tied to government direction.
Mm-hmm.
So those who need to report to whether it's cabinet members, other agencies, et cetera. But if, as you said, if you're an analyst, if there is a job that you've been wanting to work from home, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
your home might now be in a different part of the United States.
Right.
And I realize that to many that's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who has worked corporately in the past, I'm not unfamiliar with the phrase, you can live wherever you want. Your paycheck is going to this place.
Mm-hmm.
So it is truly a decision of where you want to go. And nobody said it's going to be easy and without some pain, But nonetheless, this is the direction that USDA wants to go to make their staffing more accessible to those who are farming in specific regions of the country.
Well, and that makes sense to have them more locally amongst the regions of the country that have, obviously, you know, farming and ranching, mm-hmm. et cetera, as a big part of their economy. I do know that during the pandemic that a lot of federal agencies, we were working from home. And
sure.
So I know there at times, depending on how unique of a job it is, let's say it is a remote analyst or something. I mean, that can either be done from a local office. It can be sometimes done from your home, depending mm-hmm. on the situation, depending on the type of information, if it's confidential or not. So, yeah, you can get those people out in amongst more of the farm and ranch land that we have. I guess it just depends on where they're located and what actually needs to be done. Because, yeah, the half the workforce having to deal with Congress, et cetera, that makes sense to have them
sure.
out there. But as far as the rest of them, your OIGs, your analysts, everybody else that has something to do with the Department of Ag, they need to be more local so that way they can help the local farmers and ranchers more adequately.
Absolutely. And I don't mind the idea of this. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to watch the comment period to see what folks are saying about it, whether it's coming from those who certainly are employees, mm-hmm. but then also from those whose lives are affected by USDA. And it's not just farms and ranches, but also those included under SNAP benefits mm-hmm. and other welfare programs. So I'd be curious to see how that feeling is out amongst some of those agencies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, corn, as one of our agricultural products here in the nation, has officially claimed the top spot as the most used plant-based ingredient in U.S. pet food. Through an independent study, it's been identified as valued for its versatility because when you look at corn, it's not really just filler. It's a high-quality ingredient that brings digestible carbohydrates, essential amino acids, natural fiber, rich in antioxidants, also the protein and texture. Mm. Now, for those who have very specific dog foods that they want to feed their pets, enjoy. Corn, of course, as we've said, plant-based, and it's a great product that's going into dog food. As someone who grew up on the farm watching what our dogs ate out there, they're a little less discerning than maybe some of those who are looking for good pet foods these days. Our dogs were not necessarily worried about that. So, now, also, speaking of food, tariffs could certainly show us some higher food prices. We'll see how that all starts to shake out. The top five imported foods by volume that could face tariffs would include liquors and spirits, baked goods, coffee, fish, and beer, and they account for roughly 21% of the total U.S. food imports. I was surprised at baked goods. I would have thought most of that was done domestically, but nope, a little shock. Hmm. Now, I do have a graph that's got stats from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they talk about where food prices are from 12 months ago to June of this year. So June of 24 to June of 25, we've been very worried about coffee. Per pound, coffee has had a $1.88 increase on a per pound basis. We have looked at butter going up 18 cents a pound. Orange juice, 24 cents, and that's per 16 ounces on frozen from concentrate. Meanwhile, bread has gone down, which is not a great feeling if you have a wheat field out there. And then milk has gone down 11 cents per gallon as well. So it's been interesting to watch what those trends look like.
Right.
If you've got questions, though, you can easily send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. Today on Weather and Ag in Focus, we'll be joined by Madeline Smith. She is the NDSU Pesticide Education Specialist. And we're going to talk about some changes that are up and coming for those of you who have your commercial applicator's license or even your private, so that we make sure you're on board to know what's got to be done for the coming year. So join us then.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bridget.
Have a great day.
You too. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel, 7:34. Time now for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we've got some showers out there this morning. A couple of batches, one Fargo to Grand Forks right along the 29 corridor. Then the other batch of steadier rain out in Lakes Country from about ODL down through about Fergus. That's all moving northward very slowly. So we'll continue to see the showers around this morning. By about 10 o'clock or so, those should start to diminish. And then we'll see a window of dry hours. And with highs today, mid to upper 70s across the area with south-southeast winds 10 to 15. Those showers will redevelop this evening and last into the early overnight hours with lows in the mid-60s. and a breezy day on Tuesday. Most of the day should be dry, but after about 4 or 5 o'clock, we'll start to see storms roll in from the west. Highs right around 80, and those storms could be on the strong side. We'll keep an eye on those. And then Wednesday and most of Thursday look dry, with highs in the mid-80s to near 90. Then as we head into Thursday night and Friday night, looks like we'll have a couple rounds of storms. Some of those could be strong to severe before cooler weather comes in here as we head into the weekend. So a wet week. We'll have dry hours in between. I know WeFest starts on Thursday. The start of it looks dry, and most of these storms should be nighttime events into the early morning hours. So for WeFest and that, yeah, it's going to be wet, but I think we should be able to time it out where they're mainly nighttime events. Fingers crossed. That's the way it looks now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
Weather's brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated since 1979 with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:36. We got a quick check of your national news. We'll come back with the WDAY Radio Sports Update, and then Dean will return with your three-degree guarantee.
7:39, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stenman.
All right, let's see where to begin this time. FM Red Hawks, they got the series rubber match yesterday against the Lake County Dockhounds. 3-0 victory. Ty Jandrin on the complete game shutout. Definitely not a no-hitter, but still got the victory. Fargo continues their winning ways. They will be taking the field tomorrow night at Newman Outdoor Field for a series against the Lincoln Salt Dogs. First pitch is scheduled for 7:02 p.m. Minnesota Twins, well, they got out of being swept by the Cleveland Guardians with a 5-4 win from Cleveland. Matt Wallner, Royce Lewis, and Trevor Larnach all drove in runs, and the Twins also got a nice win in relief for Cody Funderburk. Twins remain, unfortunately, in fourth place in the AL Central. They begin a series with the Detroit Tigers tonight. Minnesota Vikings have a new Hall of Famer. Jared Allen was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame over the weekend. Former Vikings defensive end was one of four players inducted into the Hall Saturday. He spent six seasons with the Vikings and had 85.5 sacks during his career. Fargo Force say goodbye to a couple of their young coaches. Jimmy Spratt headed to Miami University in Ohio to be an assistant to the head coach. And Jackson Keen will take an assistant coaching role with the Bemidji State University Beavers. In their absence, the Fargo Force have now announced they have hired Hank Johnson as their goaltender coach. He is a Bemidji State alum, and he was also the goalie coach for the Des Moines Buccaneers most recently. Minnesota Timberwolves signed a couple players to fill out their roster for training camp. They signed guard Johnny Juang to a one-year deal. It's probably non-guaranteed. He spent the last three seasons with Utah. The Wolves also added forward Enrique Freeman on a two-way deal, which more than likely means Jesse Edwards' time with the Timberwolves has come to an end. Minnesota United dropped their second League's Cup match against Club America. They lost on penalty kicks. They have one more League's Cup match against St. Louis on Wednesday. Minnesota Lynx, a couple news and notes from them over the weekend. On Saturday, they had one of the most impressive victories, if not the most impressive road victory of all time in the WNBA as far as by margin. They won by 53 points, 111-58 over the Las Vegas Aces. But Nafisa Collier did turn an ankle, so we'll see if she's able to be back, because the first place Lynx at 24-5 are visiting the Seattle Storm tomorrow night. In addition, as they're at 29 and kind of have their 30th game of the season tomorrow night, they're winding down their season in the last quarter of the season. So Minnesota Lynx, they made a trade. They traded for Dallas guard Dejanay Carrington yesterday. They sent out Diamond Miller, Carly Samuelson, and a 2027 second-round pick to complete the deal. Carrington was named the most improved player in the league last season. She's averaging 10.4 points and 5.1 rebounds per game this season. And then James McCarty, well, he was in Newton, Iowa this weekend. William Byron held off a late push from Chase Briscoe to win the Iowa Corn 350. Brad Keselowski, Rob Blaney, and Ryan Preece rounded out the top five. NASCAR Cup Series heads to Watkins Glen next Sunday as the regular season winds down. There are only three races left until the playoff. And still, speaking of races, you can get caught up on all the local racing scene and beyond with Jason Berg tonight on Track Talk from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
All right, 7:43, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, Sturgis Motorcycle Rally underway. It was back in 2009, this singer was airlifted to a hospital after he fell off the stage, got seriously hurt there. You'll find out who it is in Flatland Music Flashback. That coming your way tomorrow morning, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We do Flatland Music Flashback 6:56 each and every morning. 7:43, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 7:45, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It's brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
All right, going back to Friday.
Yep, you predicted 79, Dean. How did you do?
We hit 78 on Friday.
So that makes six in a row now.
Ooh. All right. We're going to go 70. You know, I'm going to update this, and I've got to update the website.
Okay.
But we're going to go 76 today.
Okay.
We're going to go 76. We got some showers around this morning. Those will continue to move northward, but kind of a wet start to the morning, especially from Fargo to Grand Forks on that 29 corridor. And then leftover showers will diminish late this morning, then redevelop towards evening, lasting into the early overnight hours. And then looks like the next couple of days, daytime hours look dry Tuesday, Wednesday, but storms come in Tuesday evening into the overnight hours, and then another around Thursday night and Friday night. Daytime hours outside of today this week look mainly dry with warming temperatures close to 90 by Thursday. So again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 76.
All right, 76. That is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
7:46, a close call at an aquarium for a youngster in Texas, and we will talk more about that coming up next. Seven 7:49, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Careful what you're touching. I guess this happened at a touch.
Wait. Before you do the story, somebody sitting next to me is over there smirking because they are very proud of the fact that they got to use this song for this story.
An octopus story. Why wouldn't you use this song?
I don't know if I've heard this song before, honestly.
It's the Beatles. It was a big hit.
I'm not familiar with this one, but she's over there just grinning.
I know a song that'll go perfect with
this segment.
She's
just grinning like, yeah, I did that octopus story. I know this song. I got it covered.
Six-year-old boy hurt when an octopus grabbed onto his arm and wouldn't let go after the boy reached into a touch tank at the San Antonio Aquarium.
Mm.
So the mom has put a video, of course, on TikTok because that's what
that's
age
what people
group
do.
Does.
Otherwise,
right?
It didn't happen, Bonnie.
Yeah. Showing her son's arm, and he's got his arm out. He's got his wristband on from the aquarium set. And it's just, it's like, you've seen people like when they've had cups done, the suction.
Yep.
Okay, but they're smaller because it was a smaller
octopus. Yeah.
And so it's got, that's what it looks like, suction cups all over the
poor kids. Little mini ones. Yeah, because I mean, they got those tentacles and they just wrap that tentacle around the kid's arm. And octopuses are, or octopi, I should say, are pretty,
good job.
Pretty, intelligent creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I don't know that this octopus meant any harm to the kid, probably just curious, etc.
It doesn't look like the kid freaked out. He was six, but he kept saying to his mom, "Mom, it's not letting go."
Yeah.
It took three adults to get the octopus off the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after the incident, the San Antonio Aquarium posted a video on TikTok about the bruises that the octopus can leave behind. Didn't directly refer to this incident, but they said the bruises are not harmful. They will go away within 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just kind of normal bruising, so.
There is a cool, like, Netflix video about an octopus and a guy who, like, basically it was his friend or whatever. It was a really neat documentary.
Yeah,
Did you see that?
No, I don't think I have. I've seen
My
video.
Octopus Friend or something
I've seen,
like that?
I've seen them with some octopus.
My octopus teacher.
It is, they like I said, they're very intelligent, and they've been able to get in and out of different places because obviously the makeup of their body, they're able to squish through little tiny spaces, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty amazing. Did you see the baby race in Vegas over the weekend?
Mm-mm.
I think that you have to disqualify this baby.
Why?
Well, it's a crawling race, Bonnie.
Yeah.
And this baby cheated.
Oh, how did the baby cheat?
The baby took her first steps and started walking towards mom. So I don't know.
You'd have to disqualify her.
I mean, you think so? Because it's a crawling race. You can't just get up and walk to the finish line. I mean, how? Come on, let's be fair.
We're still waiting for Zara to take her first step. She just turned 14 months yesterday.
Yeah.
She'll stand up and she'll walk along the couch, but she just decides that it's more fun just sitting down.
Yeah, my oldest was the same way. She started talking earlier but walked later, and we had we knew a family that had they were in the hospital the same time as up when we had our oldest, and their son was walking around 9 months old, but you know, as far as his verbalization goes, he was behind JC in that part.
They all develop differently.
Absolutely.
I mean, Zara with her hand-eye coordination, she'd be pulling her pacifier out of her mouth and waving it around when she was like 4 months old.
Yeah.
It's like, so yeah, she's ahead on certain things, but walking, she's just like,
it's
overrated.
She's probably going to go right from crawling to running before you know it.
Yeah, I think right before we head to Greece, she'll be walking.
So I don't know.
Holding grandma's hand, walking along the beach.
But they had a story on the national news, cheating at a baby crawling race. Terrible.
Good for that little one taking the first steps. A bunch of local veterans groups are doing a food drive. It's the fifth annual food drive to support Great Plains Food Bank. And coming up at 8:10 this morning, Virginia Kruschauer is going to be joining us to talk more about that and how you can help out if you would like. It is 7:53. FTC is warning about scammers sending phony Amazon text messages. We'll tell you what that's all about coming up next in your money and markets. 7:56, checking out your money and markets. Opening bell rings this morning after Friday saw stocks close sharply lower to kick off August trading. Stocks tumbled as a much weaker than expected July jobs report and President Trump's new tariffs fueled a huge sell-off. Bank shares slid on fears of a slowing economy, with Wells Fargo and Bank of America losing more than 3% each. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 542 points, S&P 500 lost 101, and the NASDAQ dropped 472. Those are some big drops.
Yeah. Noticing it on my portfolio.
First noticing it now this morning.
Yeah,
yikes.
I saw the number when I saw 542 points. I'm like, well, that can't be good. The Nasdaq's 472. I'm like, we better check. And I'm like, it's not the worst it's been, but it definitely was not a good day. White House Economic Advisor Kevin Hassett is defending President Trump's decision to fire the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics following a weak jobs report. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, Hassett echoed statements made by the president questioning the accuracy of the numbers. He said, "If we need a fresh set of eyes at the agency." The report said the U.S. economy added just 73,000 jobs last month, which is well below estimates. Trump took to social media and implied the labor statistics chief manipulated the data for political purposes.
I mean,
here's the thing with being a sports guy, Bonnie. You can look at stats any which way you want to try and prove your point. It just depends on the stat you're looking for.
Thousands of Boeing workers in Missouri and Illinois are going on strike. This after they rejected Boeing's latest contract offer, which union members say falls short on wages, time off, and retirement benefits. Boeing's final offer included a 20% pay increases over the four-year contract. The workers hitting the picket line mainly build fighter jets and weapons systems.
Oh, that's stuff I use every day. The Federal
Important
Trade
Government stuff.
Well, can't say what it did or not. The Federal Trade Commission is warning consumers about a scam involving Amazon. It actually has nothing to do with the international e-commerce company, but with fraudsters. They're sending phony text messages that claim to be from Amazon saying an item you bought has been recalled. The FTC says don't fall for it and don't click on the link offering a full refund, or you could get ripped off by scammers who are after your money and personal information. That's why, obviously, check your Amazon account if you actually order stuff. I get stuff saying I ordered the virus scan software or whatever. Your Amazon account will tell you whether there are any product recalls. So the FTC says check it directly, just like anything. Like if you get a supposed text message from your bank, contact your bank directly if you have any questions.
I've never gotten one of these from Amazon.
You're lucky.
Yeah, they've never texted me. And Tesla is being ordered to pay $329 million in damages related to a fatal autopilot crash. A jury in Miami found the company should be held partially liable for the 2019 crash and should compensate the family of the person who died as well as an injured survivor. It includes $129 million in compensatory damage and $200 million in punitive damages. The lawsuit was related to a Tesla driver dropping his phone while he tried to pick it up. The car drove through an intersection, hit a parked car. A woman was killed and her boyfriend was hurt.
We've got more astronauts, Bonnie.
Oh, Katy Perry?
No, again? she didn't get to go this time.
Well, she says she's an astronaut.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's funny because it says Blue Origin launches another crew to space.
Yeah.
First sentence in it. Crypto billionaire Justin Sun joined five others Sunday on a trip to the edge of space.
Oh, the edge of space.
You'll buy a ticket to space, but you only get to the edge. They were carried by Blue Origin's new Shepard craft, launched from company's West Texas spaceport. It was a 34th flight for the craft and a big moment for Sun, who originally supposed to fly on board the first ever New Shepard launch in 2021 after paying $28 million in an auction.
Eesh.
Okay.
A scheduling conflict canceled his plans back then. Other passengers for the 12-minute flight included Indian-American real estate developer, a Turkish businessman, a Puerto Rican journalist, an Englishman who runs an orphanage in Nepal, and an American businessman.
And did they all pay that kind of money, including the person who runs the orphanage? I would think
that when he was supposed to be on the original flight, in which I don't know how many they've done per year, that $28 million in an auction, it was probably overinflated price-wise.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? I'm sure the price has come down because now they can just send them up all the time.
That's crazy.
So now we have more astronauts.
There you go.
New perspective on the world, and their life has forever changed.
Yes.
At least that's what Katie told us.
Yes, she did. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8:01. Good morning. 8:03. Time now for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Yeah, we're looking at temperatures out there today in the 70s and looks like mid-70s. We got showers on radar right now moving northward, and those will diminish by about 10 o'clock. We'll see a brief dry window until late afternoon, then we'll see more showers redevelop. Again, about 76 today, down into the mid-60s tonight. Tuesday looks mainly dry, breezier, and might even see a peak or two more of sunshine with highs a little closer to 80. But more storms come in Tuesday evening into the overnight hours. Some of those could pack a punch. Then Wednesday and Thursday look dry. A few leftover storms Wednesday morning, with highs in the mid-80s. And then Thursday, daytime hours look dry, but more storms come in evening and into the overnight hours. Some of those could be strong to severe. Highs both Thursday, Friday, upper 80s, close to 90, and then another round of storms Friday night with, again, some of those could be on the strong side. So if you're going to WeFest, most of these storms look to be overnight. Saturday's still a little questionable, but other than that, most of the storms this week should come during the overnight hours.
Yeah, so if you're camping or tenting, pay attention. Heading to WeFest, download the WDAY Radio mobile app. Dino will keep us updated.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Dean.
You got it.
8:04, several local veterans groups are raising food items to support Great Plains Food Bank, and we're going to get all the details on that coming up shortly. Right now, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Jace has your WDAY Radio Sports. And then we will be talking with Virginia Krauschar about the food drive coming up shortly. 8:08, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
Busy weekend of news and notes from around the sports world. First, the Fargo Force say goodbye to two coaches, Jimmy Spratt. He's going to be assistant to head coach at the Miami of University in Ohio. And Jackson Keene will be taking an assistant coach's role at Bemidji State. So in their absence, the Fargo Force welcome Hank Johnson to the staff as goaltender coach. He is a former Bemidji State alum and former Des Moines Buccaneer goalie coach. So the Force welcome him into the fold. Twins held off the Guardians 5-4 to win last night. Cody Funderburk picked up his second win in relief. Twins remain in fourth place in the AL Central. They begin a series with the Detroit Tigers tonight. FM Redhawks are going to return to Newman Outdoor Field tomorrow night for a series against the Lincoln Salt Dogs, but over the weekend they took 2 out of 3 from the Lake County Dockhounds, and Ty Jandrin completed a complete game shutout on Sunday to take the series 2-1 over the Dockhounds. First pitch tomorrow night is scheduled at 7:02 p.m. Minnesota Vikings have a new Hall of Famer. Jared Allen was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame over the weekend. He spoke about being driven by fear, respect, and the pursuit of greatness during his NFL career. He spent 6 seasons with the Purple and Gold and had 85.5 sacks in 96 games during his tenure. Basketball notes, Minnesota Timberwolves, they're rounding out that training camp roster as they signed Johnny Juzang to a 1-year deal over the weekend, most likely just guaranteed through training camp. He averaged 8.9 points in 64 games last season with the Jazz. Wolves also added forward Enrique Freeman on a 2-way deal. to bring him in. And it looks like Jesse Edwards, who was on a two-way contract with the Wolves, most likely he's the odd man out since the Wolves drafted two centers this past draft. Minnesota Lynx, they were all over the Las Vegas Aces on Saturday night. 111-58 victory from Vegas. They obviously led and finished out the game by leading by as many as 53. But Nafisha Collar did suffer an ankle injury. We'll see what her status is going into tomorrow because they play the Seattle Storm on the road tomorrow. Lynx are a league best 24-5 on the season. And they added to that roster by adding Dejane Carrington yesterday. They sent Diamond Miller, Carly Samuelson, and a 2027 second-round pick back to Dallas to complete that deal. Carrington was named the most improved player in the league last season. She averages 10.4 points and 5.1 rebounds per game this season. Minnesota United dropped their second League's Cup match against Club America at Shell Energy Stadium on Saturday. They were tied at 3 at the end of the regulation, but they fell on penalty kicks. They have one more League's Cup match against St. Louis on Wednesday, and that'll round out that tournament for them. Doesn't look like they'll be moving on more than likely in that contest. And finally, big game James McCarty took in the race in Newton, Iowa, the Iowa Corn 350, where he saw William Bryan hold off a late push by Chase Briscoe, and followed by Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, and Ryan Pierce to win that race. NASCAR Cup Series field heads to Watkins Glen next Sunday as the regular season winds down. There are three races left until the playoffs. And speaking of racing, tonight, right here on WDAY Ready from 6:30 to 8 p.m., Track Talk with Jason Berg, who'll get you up to date on the local racing scene and beyond.
8:11, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, and you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Local veterans groups are taking part in the fifth annual food drive to support Great Plains Food Bank. Virginia Krauser joining us now on Bonnie and Friends. Good morning to you, Virginia.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And you just kicked off this event August 1st, which would have been Friday, it looks like.
That is correct.
Tell us about, you had an event in which you were just showing me the back of your vehicle, which was full. Where were you, down at the AmFets?
On Saturday, we had a drive-through drop-off, and we've done that for 4 years now, I think it is that we've done it. And we set up an area so that people can just drive through, drop off their food and their monetary donations, and then stay and enjoy the great burgers and brats at the AmVets.
They do have good food there.
They do. Also this year at the AmVets, from the 2nd through the 8th, we are having a silent auction. And this is new for us this year with our food drive, and we got some really nice gifts. Actually, I was here on Friday, and Jay Thomas gave me one of his Rides with Jay signs.
Oh, nice.
That's on the auction.
Oh, nice.
Mitsubishi, Valley Imports gave us a basket full of little items. No car, but there's some nice stuff.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe next year. And then we've got some coin collections, and we've got a lot of, like, the Budweiser posters and a lot of just different really nice things. So come into the AmVets. It closes at 4 p.m. on the 8th, but anybody can come in and look at the stuff and bid.
Oh, absolutely love that. All right. And in addition to the silent auction, how else can we donate? Like you said, you picked up donations this weekend here at the AmVets. Where are the other drop-off locations?
So we have three different drop-off locations. The Fargo VFW, the West Fargo VFW, and the AmVets all have the blue donation barrels that you can take there or leave a monetary donation at the front bar. And we also have online giving. This year we have two additional sites in addition to the AmVets site. So we're going to be at the West Fargo POW/MIA Mall on the 8th. Okay. And we will be there from 2 until 7, and we will be collecting food and monetary donations outside on the mall, and there's also the donation basket inside.
Right.
And then on the 9th, we'll be downtown at the Farmer's Market. Oh. And we'll be there from 10 until 2 because there we're only collecting monetary donations because we'll be out on the sidewalk in front of the VFW.
But that's nice because there's a lot of people that go down to Red River Market.
Yes, so we're hoping that we really get a lot of activity out of that. Mm-hmm.
So I assume that when people are donating food items, they have to be shelf-stable items. You want to run through what is shelf-stable for a lot of people that may not really understand what that is?
Sure. So we want non-perishable items, and the things that the food bank really likes to get are the canned meats, like the chicken and the tuna and the Spam, and also noodles. You know, kids love the ramen noodles. Yeah. They like macaroni and cheese. They like any kind of noodle thing, ramen noodles. They also like cereal. Mm-hmm. Peanut butter is a big one because that has a lot of protein.
Absolutely.
And kids seem to really like that, especially now during the summertime when the kids are not in school and they're not getting the backpack program and they're not getting the lunches at school. Mm-hmm. Other things are canned vegetables, rice, and pastas and things like that are shelf stable.
Yeah.
And there are some products out there that are, the milk is shelf stable.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is always a good item to donate.
Yeah, there's some shelf stable milk, I believe. Sometimes you can find, it's not the same, obviously, but if people prefer the almond milk, I know a lot of those ones can sit there on the shelf for a long time as well without having to be refrigerated. So that's always good as well. I just want to point out the actual addresses for those locations. For everybody out there, Virginia. So obviously the Fargo AmVets, that is 1001 First Avenue South. That's just on the other side of obviously Main Avenue. The Fargo VFW, just a couple blocks away in a sense. That is at 202 Broadway North. And then the West Fargo VFW is located, that's the new one that is on 444 Cheyenne Street. And basically, I guess it's downtown West Fargo. That's what that's considered. So just so everybody knows where the actual addresses are. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how many people, or not so much maybe how many people, but the kind of the different types of people that were helped last year by the food bank?
So there was a newsletter that came out from the Great Plains Food Bank just last month, and they said that last year they distributed 5,504,667 pounds of food.
Wow. Mm.
And if you just think how much food that really is, they helped 45,040 individuals who were served, and 33% of those were kids from 0 to 18. Mm. So just think about your kids and your grandkids, your neighbors' kids, and, you know, a lot of those people now are needing to utilize the food bank because of the economy.
Yeah.
11% were seniors, and that's 60-plus, and that's also a group that is really being impacted.
Absolutely.
Well, it is, and obviously that part of our community continues to expand as far as numbers-wise goes, just for the simple fact a lot of us are living longer than we used to. So obviously,
and they're on a limited income, and we know how much it's affecting those of us who are still working full-time, and you go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And then when you total up that they total up that number of food that's been utilized by patrons of the food bank, sometimes you forget, you know, sometimes you buy something, you don't realize how much it actually weighs, like, you know, 16 ounces of this product or that product. Because, I mean, I guess according to Kraft, I'm a family of four. So there's that.
So, and in that newsletter, they said that $28 provides a week worth of food for a family of four.
Yeah.
And if, you know, their dollar, they can buy a lot more with the dollar at the store than we can.
And don't you also have community partners doubling your donations, too, that you collect?
Yes. And over the past 4 years, we have collected almost about $20,000, and every year that's been doubled. So that's a significant amount that we've been able to raise for our community. And we have raised over 2,000 pounds of food. So we're pretty proud of what we've done in the past 4 years.
And, you know, if it's $5, $10 donation, maybe you want to go buy a case or two of ramen noodles. We all know those are cheap, or a case of tuna, chicken, whatever. Everything that we can donate helps out a great cause here.
That's true. That's true. And the food bank also said that the $28 for it provides a week's worth of food for four. 112 provides a week's worth of food to four families.
Mm-hmm.
And a $50 donation can buy 30 pounds of fresh produce. $100 can provide 20 pounds of ground beef.
Yeah.
So they really need our help.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw in the paper that there's a food bank in Grand Forks, and I don't think it's associated with the Great Plains Food Bank because they cover all of North Dakota and all of Clay County.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is a Mission Food Bank, and they're closing their doors.
Oh, okay.
For, they said, a couple of months because their shelves are empty.
Oh, yeah. That's
so bad. They helped around 400 families, you know. So mm-hmm. we need to help our food yeah. bank so they can distribute all
yeah, they
across
can
the United
States. They can cover a little bit of what that food bank in Grand Forks is not able to cover right now.
Right.
So just a great cause, though, Virginia, that you guys are involved with. And this is the fifth annual fundraiser then for this then as well?
That's correct. And if people want to donate online,
mm-hmm.
they can go to the Great Plains Food Bank, and it is listed under the Military Veterans Organization Food Drive.
Oh,
also
that's nice and handy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Also on every one of our veteran organization sites. So the American Legion has a site, VFW, both Fargo and West Fargo have a site, and the AMVETS have a site.
Yeah.
And you can go on any of those and pull up the food drive information, and it will mm-hmm. tell you all of this stuff.
Well, I tell you what, though, Virginia, the number of times we hear about like the Moorhead American Legion, AMVETS, et cetera, doing stuff for our community, I mean, that says a lot about the people that are involved in these organizations. And is there just something about being able to give back? I mean, a lot of the veterans that we know have given so much to their country. What is it about them that they continue to want to give back in the community?
You know, the community has been really good to all of the veterans and the organizations. And, you know, we in 2021, when the Great Plains Food Bank put out that urgent request for mm-hmm. food, mm-hmm. we... myself and some of the other people from the organization sat down and we thought, how can we give back to our community after we've received so much from our community?
Mm-hmm.
So we just decided this was a way we could touch a lot of different people
yeah.
in the community. And I think that's just innate in mm-hmm. people who join the military
yeah.
and the auxiliary, and
yes.
because we can't do it without the families
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
in these organizations. So I think we just want to keep giving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I think something like a food bank is such an incredible organization because that they are giving to those that obviously are in desperate need for food. But at the same time, there are those families out there that I don't think really want to let everybody know that they're going through these hard times. So that way they can go there, get the food they need to provide for their family, and continue to kind of live a normal life, especially when they may be having a food hardship.
Yeah. People don't like other people to see
their struggles.
Yes.
Well, exactly. They might have been living a good life and then had a medical issue or whatever that turned their life around, and now they need the help. Mm-hmm. So
that's right. It only takes one event
yep.
in
yes.
your life
yep.
to make you need things like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so look for you guys coming up at the Red River Market on August 9th. You'll be outside the Fargo VFW from 10 to 2 taking cash donations. August 8th, the POW MIA Mall next to the West Fargo VFW from 2 to 7. Like you mentioned, all the different veterans groups, your websites, and we can also go bid on the silent auction items at the AMVETS through the 8th through 4 p.m. Did we get all that right?
That is correct. And you will not be disappointed with those donations.
Absolutely. Virginia, thanks for your time this morning, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
You bet. It is 8:23, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Time now to head to the American Ag Network. We'll be getting to that right after this. 8:27, Coffee Club. Janae and Ronnie have entered the studio. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Looks like a gloomy Monday out there. This is what Monday should look like, right?
I don't know.
That's what they feel like. That's what they feel like, Bonnie.
Yeah,
it shouldn't look this way. It should be nice and sunny and everybody happy. Like, ooh.
No, because then you don't really want to be at work.
If you got to work, yeah, I guess so.
Right?
Yeah.
Gloomy, overcast.
Yeah.
Although it's supposed to clear off later on today.
Yeah.
So Did you guys have a nice weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was.
Oh, you won money, didn't you? Look at that smile on his face.
It was
did
all
you
right.
Hit it big?
Well, not big enough to not come to back to work.
Yeah,
let's
not
see,
quite.
Is Ronnie wearing new jeans today?
yeah, exactly.
It's good. And you were home. You were, what, festival or something going on? Heritage Days or something like that? Or what'd you have?
McCluskey Summerfest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fun.
I was home. It was a good time.
Those small town festivals are like the best.
They really are. Mm-hmm. We had a really good time.
My sister had her class reunion this weekend, too, and so they were doing, they were all dressed up with 80s big hair and stuff like that.
They didn't
so.
Have it until August, really.
Yeah.
A lot of times people in small towns, they want to do it over like 4th of July or Memorial Day weekend. Ours is normally over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't do it over the 4th of July just because so many have other plans.
Right.
My class is so lame, we're kind of hit and miss on stuff.
Well, there's only 8 of us in mine, and we're just like,
you
you're going back
for
it?
Coffee anytime, whenever
pretty much.
You want to do it.
I mean, it was a 25% class reunion when my buddy came to see me in Minneapolis.
There
you go. Just like, oh, all right, now we're done.
What'd you graduate with?
I believe.
Well, Ellendale, that was,
yeah,
what, 35-ish?
28.
28.
I was going to say a couple dozen.
We were 12.
And one was a foreign exchange student.
Oh,
yeah. So, well, here's the thing that when you mentioned that, Ronnie, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, that I would have been at your senior prom.
No. Okay.
So I don't know who you
if
were.
If I would had
Did
still
you
been in Loyola.
By a lady?
Yeah, I was there. Oh, your your class president.
Yeah.
That's who
you don't
it was.
Even remember her name.
It's not Debbie. What was it? I'm drawing a blank on it. Nope.
Sandy.
Well, I'm trying to think. Tina, Christy.
You only have how many more females?
I know.
There were only a finite number. Yeah. Like when I was in Ellendale, I think there were only 6 girls. Yeah.
It could be.
Small town.
I'd have to remember. I'd have to remember who that is.
Is there a Denise?
I think there was. I don't remember if there was in Loyola, but
I think it was. But I would have been at your senior prom.
Oh,
that's
wow.
All. Ronnie and my path crossed many, many moons ago without even knowing we would end up meeting back here.
Isn't that funny how,
Yeah, I went to Loyola till my sophomore year. Yeah. Then my mother got remarried. We moved off the farm into town.
Yeah,
and
my,
I graduated from Ellendale.
My buddy, him and his family moved to Ellendale after, or right at the beginning of junior year. Mm. So that's why I started going up there to Ellendale. So, yeah.
Look at both of you now.
Okay.
What are you guys doing on the show today?
We're going to talk about things you legally cannot have in your backyards. Unless you have a permit.
Chicken farm.
Mm-hmm.
You can do with a permit now.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get my wife any ideas.
Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Things you should always carry in your purse. Our small business have to reschedule for today. Movies that are so accurate that they're basically a documentary.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. People are going to say Fargo, I bet. Even though it's not accurate.
It also
took place like up there in Brainerd, don't you know?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to listen to the Coffee Club to find out if you're right on that. All right. Stay tuned. Coffee Club, Janae and Ronnie, that's coming up next. Let's get out of here.
You betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we will be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have a great day. It is 8:30.